Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Happy Saturday to you, each and every one of you. The time is now 6.03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3.03 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is November the 5th, 2022. Yep. In a few days, I won't say a few days, I'll say a few weeks. We're getting really deep into the holiday season. Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. A whole new year is coming, y'all. 2023 is on its way. And you know what? I kind of wonder, is everybody prepared for the new year? I know I'm trying to. I hope you are. But look how fast 2022 has passed away. And we're in the middle of a election season. We're talking about not presidency, but we're talking about an election season for the midterms. And look at the drama that's going on. Well, we're going to get into a little bit of that today. And then we're going to talk about a few other topics, things that have happened over the past week. Another rapper gone. I mean, I'm not understanding this, y'all. I'm really not understanding this. I know people die every day, right? But in this particular situation, he had no beef with anybody, according to the reports. He just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. Is that what they said? But it's still, you know, another rapper. So I want to get you guys' opinion on this whole thing of what happened to Takeoff. Is it Takeoff or Offset? See, they're almost like the same name. It's Takeoff. Okay, so I want to get your opinion on this because recently there's been some video shared of what actually went down, you know, what actually went down. TMZ, which is notorious for coming up with videos and everything that your local news or your national news, or really national news don't really share much about the death of a rapper in tail. They'll just tell you that another rapper died, you know, and here we go. You know, that's what they do. Tell you the story that another rapper was killed by someone else, but they don't give you details. But just recently, if you guys have been following this, there's a video clip of the individual who had a gun. So we're going to get into that story. But you know, as always, what we try to do is get through our political topics first, because that's what I choose to do, because it is midterm time. Then after that, we're going to talk about, of course, the rap situation. You look at all the rappers who have been murdered recently, well-known rappers, whether they're, you know, regional. These are cats that, you know, are doing songs and everything and making money, and they're just getting gunned down. What's going on? See, because the reason why I want to talk about it, because see, when I was growing up, there was no beef like this. There was nothing like this going on in the music industry. There might have been some fights, but flat-out murder, you know, over a disagreement, over a dice game. What the fuck is going on? So we're going to get into that. And also, wow, tomorrow night is going to be amazing. It's going to be great because I've been looking forward to seeing this story and hearing this story. Tomorrow night on TV1, it will be the Solar Records story. Unsung is going to broadcast for you guys to hear, and the story of Solar Records. You know, Solar was, wow. I bear witness, okay? I truly bear witness. I've shared this with you guys. My brother worked there in promotions. I was fortunate to meet many of these great individuals who okay, I think I'm back. Am I back? Okay. I need one of y'all to call in because something just happened. It just completely dropped. So I see a hand wave, and that has to be my brother in California, the one and only Mr. Timon. All right, Mike. All right. There you go, Mike. You're starting some shit now. Mr. Timon Ship, I'm going to open up your mic. What's up, my brother? Happy Saturday to you.
What's up, Mike? Yeah, you did disappear, man.
Yeah, that's that bullshit.
All of a sudden, I hung up and I called back and you were there.
Yeah, that pissed me off. Blog Talk, you and I are going to have to talk. We're going to have to talk about this shit. It don't happen all the time, but it seems like whenever I schedule certain shows and guests to come on, that's when it really happens. So we're going to have to talk. But anyway, you heard what I said before, but I want to go ahead and get this conversation through because our guest, and this was a last-minute type thing, to be honest. I really reached out and talked to Carolyn or text her and everything, and Miss Carrie, because tomorrow night is the airing of, you know, what I just said, the story of Solar Records on TV1. But today is Miss Carrie's birthday. So great weekend, you know, to have Miss Carrie chime in. And tomorrow night is going to be a great show. And you guys need to make sure if you don't have TV1, get it. Watch this. I've seen some of the clips, and it would definitely tell you the story. Because it's not just about for you young folks who are listening. It's not about, you know, just the whispers and lakes and everything. You all love Babyface, who's written for a lot of the artists that you listen to now. Okay, so it's an awesome journey for that label. But back to what I was saying about the death of these rappers. Wow, man. This guy, I mean, he had nothing to do, according to the videos that I saw. He didn't say anything. He just happened to be in the middle of a crossfire. Have you seen the video that TMG has shared? I'm talking to you, Simon. Can you hear me? Simon, can you hear me? Yeah. I said, have you seen the video? I said, have you seen the video that TMZ shared regarding the shooting, that someone had their camera out, and you see this individual who has a gun drawn on his side? This is something that is new, and gunfire starts. Have you seen that yet?
No.
Okay. That's what I'm asking. I just saw it myself today, and obviously someone who was at the crowd, because according to the story, there was about 30, 40 people in the vicinity, and there was a dispute.
What, Amigo? Are you talking Amigo?
Right. That's what I'm talking about. I think he was called, because I don't follow them, so if you guys want to correct me, you can.
Oh, that was Takeoff.
Takeoff, right. He had nothing to do, according to the reports, with what was going on. There was allegedly a dice game going on. And then if you listen to the video, something said about basketball and everything. It's like, okay, what's going on? In my mind, I'm thinking, are you talking about something from the past or whatever? Regardless, they start shooting people in the vicinity, and Takeoff get hit. And killed.
He got hit in the head. He got hit in the shoulder, and I think the arm, or even the leg. One of them.
I didn't hear the leg. I heard the head. I thought I heard about the neck, or maybe the shoulder area, right, the upper part of his torso. But he had nothing to do with what was going on. He was an innocent bystander. He was with the other member. But why is this shit happening so much in the rap community? If you look at I'm not going to say 10 years. Well, hold on. Things that were what I was thinking about. When you think about the great artists that we've known, Michael Jackson, Prince, drug overdose, that's a fact, right? That's their death. But is it something about the message in the music or the attitude that it gives folks, you know what I mean, of where I'm tough, you know, I'm invincible? I'm trying to understand this.
No, that's not it, Mike.
Okay,
my
please.
It's not it whatsoever. What is going on? Okay, because you got to start asking questions, simple questions. You know, why is it that every time y'all go out, y'all get shot? Why can't y'all go to bowling alley? What y'all need all these guns for? Okay, because a lot of them are in gangs. Drugs are always involved, each other. And also, a lot of them are very sensitive, very insecure. A lot of them come from the hood. They carry a hood mentality. And yet they're trying to make these escapes into society. But guess what? You can't buy class. You can't. All right? You cannot. A lot of these guys, even in before it got to these dudes, why do you think, you know, why did they kill Tupac? Tupac was killed because he snatched a chain off a gang member, a dude who was a gang member's neck, and they put the green light on and they killed him. Then they did the same thing to Biggie. They put the green light on and they killed him. The Mexicans will put a green light on your ass. The 18th Street got a green light on them. Okay? You cannot go in And these dudes, some of these gangs you can't get out of. Some of these kids have been in these situations since they were children, right? Also, once these guys start making money, where do they go, Mike? They go back to the hood, and they flash. They flash, flash. They're showing off all their jewelry. And that you can't do that, man. Even though
that's a good point.
That's where you come from. But if you go back in that world, that's a good thing. They will kill you. All the basketball players, guess what? Like out here in L.A., you can't go to the hood unless you pay.
Well, hold on a minute. You know, you gave me a thought because you look at the NFL football player. What was his name? Hernandez. Remember him? You do remember him, right?
Hernandez played for the Patriots.
Right, and
he played for the Patriots,
here
he played in Miami.
And he's in prison now for murder, right?
Which Hernandez are you talking about? The big dude?
I'm talking about the one who the one who shot and killed this one guy because Hernandez was, you know, big name in the NFL. He played for, I'm not sure what if it was the Patriots. I have to look it up. But here he becomes involved in a murder, making all this money. But he still had ties with the gangs.
Yeah, he'd been doing it since college.
But he stayed with the gangs. He was loyal to the gangs.
Right.
After he's already making millions of dollars, he still had ties with the gangs. Am I correct? So let's go back to what I'm saying about with the music industry. Here's rappers. And I just want to say this. I have nothing against a person rapping. That's your career. That's your choice of what you want to do and everything. But why are so many dropping dead in murder? I just said Michael Jackson, Prince, drug overdose. Hell, I mean, the history goes on with many entertainers who
OD'd. These guys aren't dropping dead. These guys are getting shot.
That's what I just said. I just said that where if you look at the legends that I grew up with, they OD'd. Or if you look in the Michael Jackson case, they went ahead and gave the doctor time for what he gave him, which should not be administrated administered to him outside of a hospital setting, which that's what was said. And so he got some time in doing life or anything. But here's individuals, again, who are in this rap game for being shot dead. And in this case, this individual, according to what I'm reading and according to some folks, said that he had nothing to do with the situation that went down. And he's the only one dead out of 25, 30 people. Right.
Okay, they started the argument, but my thing is, Mike, why can't they go, these cats go and have a good time and go home? Why is it that every time they go someplace, they get shot?
But here's my question. Why even put yourself in the situation with, because I don't know, okay, I'm going to say this. I don't know if they knew the person that they were gambling with because allegedly they were having a dice game and this and the other. What are you playing for? A few thousand dollars? But you already have money.
But it was also, Mike, also private party.
Okay, but my point is this. If you have money in the bank, if you're a celebrity, you're not a thousand, you're not a hundredaire. Why are you sitting up here gambling outside of a casino with somebody you don't know, or maybe you do, I don't know. There's a lot more to the story we don't know. But I'm going to assume at some point there was a conversation to gamble, right? Money. and money is the root of all evil, as we've been told, and has been said for many of years. And you get into a dispute over money, what are you putting on the table? Hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars? And you have a disagreement, you're going to call someone a cheater, whatever the case may be. And all of a sudden, there's weapons brandished. And folks start firing weapons. And someone lose their life over a damn dice game. A game. Now, according to the video that I saw, and if you guys haven't seen it, you can go ahead and go to TMZ or whatever. It's out there. And you hear where the other one who didn't get killed, I don't know the difference between Takeoff and Set Off, whatever. I'm not a Migos fan. But it kind of bothered me where they play it back a few times where you hear say, we're out of here. And a few more words are exchanged, and all of a sudden gunfire. Over a dice game? $1,000? I'm sure there wasn't $1 million out there on the ground. But even if it was, isn't there a better way to solve this? Hey, you guys, you're listening to TMGS, the Michael Gaze Show. If you have a question or comment, you're welcome to hit the number one and open your mic. If you have a comment, I'll open up your mic. This show is going to be very much kind of like running in a sense of where we do have, we are expecting some special guests to stop by at any moment or any time. So, and I appreciate them making themselves available. So we'll look at that. But in the meantime, we're talking about this killing. And look at the rappers who have died in recent years. In recent years. Rappers. And the only ones we really hear about are the ones that we know about, or we know they have, exposure. But there's a bunch of them. I looked it up a while back. Well, there's some that are regional, not national, but that's regional, that were loved and respected in their neighborhoods and everything, and they were murdered. They were killed. It's not national news. Of course not. So, as you were saying, how does that change? How does that change? How is it where? Because I've never heard, what I'm saying is that I never hear about no country and western artists, having beef and shooting the other artists.
But that's
you
can't make that, that comparison right
no,
there.
No, I'm not comparing. It's not a comparison, but the thing is, that's what the narrative is that where rap is always some kind of beef going on among rappers, and I'm not comparing it, but it is a fact that it's out there. It's happening. We see it all the time on the news.
Yeah, but like
it is
these
a
people
fact.
Are from the ghetto. These people are from the ghetto. These people are from the inner city. They're not your regular everyday drive by fly by night. These are guys trying to get to from one hand they trying to make their way out of the inner city, out of the ghetto, but yet they keep going back. Okay? You keep trying to normalize what is going on in the hood. All right? You're trying to go in, you're like the person who lives in the projects that goes out and buys a Mercedes and parks it in the Mercedes in front of the project and doesn't expect anybody to steal it. Okay, who are you trying to fool? I'm not saying you can't come up, but if you don't change your ways, these are people who are still, trying to, and they wonder why folks move out of the hood. Because there's no control. And these guys are going to, they can't even go bowling. People can't
Because that's
what the situation is. They can't have a party in Halloween. They can't eat. I don't care. They can't go to a barbecue. They can't go nowhere. And they get shot.
But they do it, though. But time is. But they
but it doesn't
do
matter.
It.
They, but, Mike, the main thing is they get shot. I'm not saying you can't.
I know
have a
that. But, I mean, it's time. We already know they get shot, but they still do it. And the thing is that I understand what you're saying. They, when you're still part of the hood, for lack of a better term, if you still associate yourself with the hood, don't think that the hood is going to embrace you like, oh, you're the Messiah and you know you're protected. We're gonna no, there's gonna be some jealous folks. There's gonna be some angry folks and everything because you're coming over there showing off your shit, right? Okay, so I get that part. But they still do it, is what I don't understand. Michael Jackson didn't go back
to what I'm saying,
Michael Jackson did not go back to Gary, Indiana, and move back into the house that they grew
but
up
guess
in.
What?
He didn't build a house
but
on that property.
But they still stay ghetto. You just didn't know nothing about it. From what I heard, that's like Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston was one of the most ghetto-ass girls. From what I heard, she was very good, more ghetto than Bobby Brown.
Well, from what you heard, and that might be true,
the
but the thing is, but she didn't, right, she didn't go back to the hood. The thing is, again,
right.
I'll say, is that once you get to a certain point in stardom, you don't go back and associate yourself with that mentality. Now, you can help your neighborhood and not have to be part of the hood part of it. You follow me? You can go back
you,
and
you look at Nipsey,
your name.
You look at Nipsey Hussle. He tried to build
mm-hmm.
something in the hood, and because some guy said that he called him a snitch, he shot him. And he was building
right.
up the hood. Now, I just saw a program before I called you that was talking
mm-hmm.
about building up, you know, the neighborhood, and I'm all for that, and I think you should be able to live there, but you still got that element. Talking about barbecue the other day, right? The people are like, man, there's a great so and so's got great hamburgers. This guy got, but guess where it sits? It sits in the hood. And the dude said, man, you better go there early in the day. Don't go there at night. Them niggas will jack your ass.
Right. Right, because they don't know who you are because you come
in
through.
But
let me do this.
But
hold on.
Should not be able to go
and
get a burger wherever.
It's the hood.
But,
right,
I
you should it,
but
be.
You, I mean, but guess what?
You should.
I don't know if
you
know you this.
Should.
I don't know if you know this. You remember the Jordan Down? The project
good.
Called the Jordan Down?
In what area are you talking about? I don't recall it. I don't recall
okay,
the Jordan
Down,
but I remember over there. I remember there over there in Crenshaw called the Jungle. I know the Jungle.
No. These are called the Jordan Down. They're
okay,
not
but you know the
them.
Jungle.
It's like going for Long Beach. Well, anyway, they
right.
They've dropped $1 billion. Now they're going to regentrify all that area. They're regentifying Crenshaw, right? Crenshaw has already been regentified. And those people cannot afford the tax. But they said, I always say, the minute they ask for, they want a Starbucks and fix things up, hey, them white folks that was in Orange that moved out to Orange County or whatever, they moving back to the hood because all those areas are being redone. Taxes are going up. Those people that cannot stay there have got to move.
That's everywhere around the United States, right? That's what they do, of course. That's what they do. But I have a person on the board here. I just opened up their mic. I do believe I know who that is. 213-399. Your mic is open.
Yeah.
Welcome
yes,
to the show.
Me, Mike.
Kevin Spencer.
Mike. Oh,
the one and
hey,
only
Mike.
Group. What's up, my brother? How you doing?
I'm hanging tough, you guys.
Okay.
I'm fine.
Do you have a comment on this? Do you have a comment on this topic?
I've been listening for a good while, and one thing I have to say is you have to always remember the nature of the beast you've been discussing. A lot of people, they call it being thug thug life. What does thugs do? It was never complimentary when we were growing up to be called a thug. But thugs now are proud of it. Thugs shoot people. They do whatever. Now, look, you're talking about thugs getting together. Thug is going to do what thugs do. I don't care if you're famous or not. Because it's like, what are you doing down here? Look, I'd be somewhere, and the first question someone would ask me is, what you doing down here, man? You know, like I ain't got no business being there. Now, I'm a recording artist and all that, but I'm a person. I grew up in the neighborhood, and, you know, my friends, when we all went to the same junior in high school and stuff. So if I pop up somewhere, first of all, people ain't really looking for me to be there. And then when they realize it by some however mean, they want to know, what in the hell are you doing down here? Now,
you don't fit.
You don't fit. You don't belong. You ain't got no business down here. Whatever happens to your butt, you down here. You know, that's like getting on the court with a bunch of bad basketball players, and you get out there and you start crying about it because they're blowing you out. First thing I'm going to tell you is, man, don't come out here if you ain't with it. You know, you got to, it's
okay,
a mentality.
That's a good point. Okay, I understand.
It's a mentality.
Everybody don't like you.
Everybody don't like you just because you're famous. They don't like your butt. They don't like you.
Okay, Everybody, hold that thought for a minute. I just want you to hold that thought. Okay, so Timon, you said what you said, and I open up. By the way, you guys, this is Kevin Spencer, songwriter, member of the group Dynasty. By the way, I just have to remind you, tomorrow night on TV One, it's going to be the story of Solar Records, which Kevin right here was a member of Dynasty and actually wrote many of the hits for the Whispers and other artists, including Dynasty and Shalamar and so on and so forth. So I thank Kevin for joining us in the conversation. But I want to say this. What Kevin just said, well, I appreciate you, my brother. You know that. What Kevin just said is that when you just in a neighborhood and you're just going to visit folks, unfortunately, it got to the point you couldn't wear certain colors. You couldn't wear certain team logos and everything. It started with all that back in the day.
Yeah, man.
And now here's where you look at, I forgot the rapper's name. He's sitting there eating lunch with his girl and somebody comes into the place and kills him dead. You look at where what you just said, Timon, where Nipsey Hussle gets into a dispute in front of his business and he's shot dead. The fuck is going on here?
The green eyed monster is,
you know,
the green eyed monster is still alive and well, Mike.
And
yeah,
I'm trying to
understand
why
is this going on? They just hate on you. And you happen to be rich and famous. Oh, man, what you doing down here? They got to blow your brains out. You ain't got no business down here. You know, that's what a thug does. Thugs don't have no code of honor.
But hold that thought. Simon, I mean, you work with young folks. You work with, which we already, right. So it starts from there, I'm thinking. And you work with juvenile criminals. Can you share what you actually see? And let him finish, Kevin. You see these juveniles, not these adults. You see these juveniles get into the system. Share with us of what you see and the thought process that they have.
Well, you got to loop the adults in with them. Okay, the juveniles only following what has been taught them from who? Adults.
But wait a minute.
I got one question.
When do you become an adult?
Hold on just a minute. Let him finish, and I'm going to open up your mic again. But I want to hear, because he works with kids, and I'm going to open up your mic. Go ahead and finish what you were saying, and then I'm going to let Kevin respond.
I'm saying that the kids are in juvenile hall. The age range from where my juvie is 13 all the way up to 20-some years old. Those kids have been dealing in gangs and everything since they were like 8, 9, 10 years old. They were born in it. A lot of those guys, you know, got into it and they swore loyalty to whatever they're doing. Now, and a lot of them are sitting up 18, 19, 20, 22, all in for murder, trying to join up with, you know, these different gangs. Some of them get out and change their lives, and some of them don't see no way out because when they get out of juvenile hall or they get out of jail or prison, where are they going back to? They're going back to where they came. They're going back to the hood. And if they don't change their ways, the hood is the same. But if you're still doing what you're doing and you ain't changed, you're going to end up, you know, and a lot of guys that try to get out and they go back to the hood, some young dude is the one to end up killing because they went back. And, oh, hey, man, that's that dude from so-and-so, man. Yeah, man, let's get that fool, man. And next thing you know, and they don't care if you rap. They don't care if you singing, whatever. They will kill you. They will. Mexican, black, all of them.
Okay. You know, so I'm going to go ahead and let
go ahead.
Right. Okay, so, Kevin, what's your thoughts on
that? He's right. He's exactly right. He's pointing out an important factor. Me personally, one of my best excuse me, guys. One of my best friends.
Mm-hmm.
He's like in his 30s, and a 16-year-old blew his head off. See what I'm saying? He's a former gang member and all that. He's hustling and all that. But he had a fist fight with a gang member that was like 16 or 17, and the boy couldn't take it that he whooped his butt. So he went in the house, got a gun, came back and killed him. Mm-hmm. Now you can try to make sense of that if you want to, but that's what goes on. That's just what it is. It was a young guy that took him out.
And that's very true. Kevin, because yes, now what I want to say is this, the response for this the youth of today is kill. It's not about fighting, about kill. Now, you understand? Well, hold on a minute. Let me finish what I'm saying, sir. I understand you have to defend yourself. You don't want to be accidentally killed. Okay, in a fight. But a fight is a fight. Growing up, we used to fight. But if you lost, you lost. You had some bitterness. You might have got teased and everything, but you stood your ground. You at least fought. So what is the sense of killing a person when now you're not only losing the fight, you're going to jail, you're going to prison? Is that the alternative? Is that the alternative where, you know what, I'm not going to let this person beat me in a fight. I'd rather kill him and suffer the long-term consequences of going to prison. I don't understand that thought process. I really don't.
And you're not going
You fight?
To.
No, I'm not, because I'm too old for that shit. But
right,
I have
but
many
saying, like,
fights
you're,
in
you're,
that
you're,
room.
You're
I've won some
to,
and I've lost them.
But see, Mike, you're trying to
Go
put
ahead.
Logic to it. You're trying to put logic to it. That's an illogical world. It's not logic. It's not logical from your
in
standpoint.
This,
in their world,
right, exactly.
That's the rule. They're the rules that they created, and they live by them, male and female. The women know their world. Okay, you got women that want to date guys like that, but guess what? That's because that's where they from too, and a lot of them want to date these, or they used to call them roughnecks. All right. But then
yeah.
Again, when you see enough of them dead, okay, and you just filling up your prison, And that's not just, it's not just black folks, it's Hispanics and blacks. It's mostly
and white,
going
yeah.
to any juvenile hall, any prison, majority of them, Hispanic and black. You very, if you see a white boy, you go, you know, he's like, it's very rare. It's very rare you see an Asian, a white dude, or a Jew. It's very rare. They mostly Hispanic and black, and it's mostly gang related, but it's the gangs connected to carjacking, robberies, drug dealing, you know, all that. And they're all behind it.
Yeah.
And if you try to go in and make sense of what's going on, you'll be sitting there, you might as well go ahead, bro, and bang your head up against the wall till you bleed. You ain't gonna understand it. Like they said, you kick your head over.
It made me think when I saw the story of this member of the Migos, and especially the fact that he had nothing to do with the beef, according to the witnesses. And now when you look at the video, when you guys get a chance to look at it, you see what you see. You see the guy with the gun, which the police are looking for. You see the other member of the group, but he makes a statement. It's like, I'm out of here, whatever. And all of a sudden the gunfire starts and he gets hit. What gets me is this. Again, I'll say this. When there was West Coast beef, you know, which how that shit started, I don't know. I thought it was just a little, you know, game of drama and everything. But now, keep in mind, no one has been charged for the murder of Tupac. No one has been charged for the murder of Biggie. Right? And that was years back. And now we're looking at a whole new generation of murderers within the hip hop and rap community. I'm just trying to understand it. Is it the music? Is it the message? Is it the talking shit about each other? You know,
Hold on, my brother.
I asked you to hold on. Just hold on for a minute. I'm saying, if you're listening to what I'm saying, is it this? Is it that? Is it this? Is it that? I'm asking that because is it one thing or is it a variety of things? So to answer your question, you said it's not just one thing. No, I don't believe it's one thing. It's too much shit going on. There's too much confusion going on. And until something is discussed or talked about among these artists or the labels or whatever the case may be, something needs to be corrected, y'all. Something needs to be fixed. Because if young kids are going to sit up here and keep listening to this type of music and think that this is the lifestyle and that the only answer to a problem is to pull out a gun and kill somebody, well, you know what? It's going to be more people of color in prisons and executed. And there's a group of people who would love to see that happen. Trust me. And we're doing it for them.
It's been happening for years. It's been happening.
I know.
But you're trying.
I know, but we talk about
to ask a question that's not going to be answered. You're not going to, because guess what? The only person that has an answer to those problems are the people who are living that life, and they got to want out, Mike. They got to want change. If they don't,
I agree with you.
That's not so. When you ask the question, "Why is this happening? Why is that, Mike?"
Hold on a minute. I said that. No, wait a minute. I want to clarify what I said. I'm saying it on behalf of people who are saying that. I'm saying it on behalf of people who are saying, why are we doing this and why are we doing that? How come this keeps going on? I see it. Trust me, I see it.
Well,
the thing is that there's
it,
a lot of folks who
let
me finish. No, I'm saying it on behalf. I'm saying it on behalf. And the thing is that where when we look at politicians who come in the office and say, you know, crime is the issue and everything, but no one is addressing it of what's happening, per se, what we're talking about, of how to go to these individuals. Are there programs? Are there this, that, and the other? Are they actually trying to communicate with the gangs? Because the gangs is a community. As you just said, there are young kids who are loyal to that community of the gangs. You said that. So how do you change that?
No, they're not.
Excuse me?
There again, you want to put logic to these people, okay? From what you're saying, if that's what the people are saying. The people want it to stop, period. Just like they want you to stop controlling streets and spinning around in your car and burning rubber all day where they take over whole neighborhoods and they make all this noise and then they leave and then, you know, somebody ends up dying or getting run over. They want it to stop, period. These guys...
Yeah, it happens here in Georgia, too. Yeah, it happens everywhere.
Just want... that happened in Houston, Texas. These guys went and played off. They went and had a private party. Okay? Private party. You are a Grammy Award-winning rap group. And yet you throw a party and one of y'all end up dead. You ask that question. What the hell is going on? They had a, they, but that's just like, how did homeboy go eat fried chicken at Roscoe Chicken and Waffle? I got that kid down at my job. You know who told him to do it? His stepfather told him to go in and smoke.
You have him in custody. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do.
So he's at your facility. Okay.
I got the kid who shot Pump Smoke. We got all of them.
Mm-hmm.
The one, all those that happened in L.A., they sitting right over at my juvie. Or they at Central Juvenile Hall. And like I said, there are adults connected to these young kids who are getting them to do the things they're doing, male and female. These people have to want change. They want quick money. They want to live a certain type of lifestyle, but they want to do the ghetto version of the lifestyle. Let me go in and raise holy hell and Cain. They can't even go eat a barbecue meal. I got kids that won't even think. They say, man, I got to get an Uber, sir. I can't walk in there. Why not? Shoot, man, they might shoot me. Can you imagine? You can't go nowhere?
Nope.
You can't even go to the beach? You got to watch where you
go. Well,
I
got a few hands wave as we're almost at the top of the hour, and I really do appreciate this conversation, and I'm not, you know, I'm not speaking on my behalf. I'm sharing what I've had conversation with folks. I'm not making no excuses, but folks are saying, well, what do we do?
I understand.
Yeah, but the things that were, you know, there's some folks who listen to the show, and they post things and they ask me questions. So I'm just kind of like sharing what they're saying. So with that being said, I'm going to open up 301-919. I'm going to open up their mic and welcome them to the show. Welcome to TMGS on the TMGN. What's your name and where are you calling from? And what's your
comment? Hey, big brother. This is Nikita. Good evening, everybody.
Hey.
Good evening.
What's up, baby sis? That is Makisha Best, host of a great show on the J. King Network. Go ahead with your question or comment.
I wanted to begin by saying this is a great conversation, and I appreciate it. And I just want to tell the black men out there to be careful, because you all deserve to grow old, as one rapper's mother said.
I appreciate that. Okay. We have 215-508. 215-508, I'm going to open up your mic. Thank you for joining us. What's your question or comment? And please share where you're calling from and your name. Two one five 815-805, your mic is open. Did you have a question or a comment?
Hi, Michael. This is Dr. Cindy.
Hey.
Hey. Hi, everybody. I did want to offer a perspective that's a little, it's not different, but it's a it's another perspective about what you've been talking about in terms of gangs and things like that. I found something from the Urban Peace Institute that says that, you know, they believe violence is a symptom of many risk factors. And they talk about gang violence can result from living in a poor neighborhood, attending a low performing school, exposure to child abuse or neglect, or facing widespread social inequities. And then they go on to talk about 10 root conditions that can lead to community violence, and that's family isolation and lack of access to support structures, lack of community cohesion to improve public safety, lack of comprehensive primary prevention structure, early academic failure and lack of school attachment, lack of effective reentry strategies and transitional service support. That actually speaks to that whole prison to back in the hood situation. Inadequate government coordination and accountability, poor access to health and mental health care services, normalization of violence. That right there speaks to the desensitizing of the act of murder, of violence as a solution. Lack of economic investment, workforce development, family economic success, lack of community policing strategies that build public trust. Now, what is the most common, what is the common denominator in each and every one of these 10 root conditions of community level violence? That is the system we live under that permeates every single aspect of our lives, whether we want to admit to it or not, whether we want to attribute behaviors from a very individualistic level, such as this one person who shoots another person, and that's just the way it is with that person or those people, and it's a system of racism. Okay, that's all I want to talk about. Maybe you might want to expound on that yourself. Thank you.
I want you to respond. Hold on a minute. I want you to respond, Kat.
Yeah.
But first I want to say thank you, Dr. Cynthia Lee Smith, former co-host here on the show. And I'm slapping myself because I didn't recognize your number on the board. Okay, so thank you so much. With that, wow. That's deep. Go ahead, Kevin. You're going to respond.
Mm-hmm. One thing that when we're talking about this, and I'm thinking about gangster behaviors, the most gangster thing I've ever seen so far is historical. That is, and it's not a community, it's a country. A community is just a breakdown of little bits and pieces of a country. It's when America dropped atomic bomb on Japanese and blew people almost off the map. That's, you know, I mean, that's the most gangster thing I've ever seen in history right now. And so when we talk about the nature of what we're talking about, I have to go to this country as a gangster. Because we'll blow up whoever disagrees with us that they're not doing it. And they dropped a bomb and killed hundreds of thousands. And those people don't even have faces, wasn't famous enough. They just blew them up and went on next week like it ain't no big deal. The war is over because we blew up somebody. That's a gangster behavior. So we live in a country that practices gangster tactics.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Now when you break it down again, are you kidding me? This country is the biggest gangster I know of. And so why wouldn't some of the citizens exhibit behaviors like this?
Okay,
plus,
so,
they're being attacked systematically from within. I'm saying already
okay,
with
so
the
hold on,
social
hold on a minute,
condition.
But can I say this? I understand your point. But here's my concern. My concern is that what I'm seeing is where the music, the rap community,
it can
has
be
lost
anything.
Like, well,
music
well, no.
Power. Can, finish? Music
can, power. Can I finish, please? Can I finish, please?
Yeah.
I'm looking.
I don't
at,
think you said power.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I have to do this. I'm looking at within the last, not even a full year, it's been like what, 6-7 rappers murdered. Again, I say. I haven't heard about 6 or 7 country artists, 6 or 7 rock and roll artists. It's rappers that are we've seen, understand my point, that are being murdered, gunned down. We just spoke about many of them who were innocent, who were doing things for the community, and they're killed. Now, already, Timons share that some of the killers are in the facilities that he works at. But again, my point is this. Why? Timons share what he sees why. Because they're ghetto, they're gangster, that's what they know. Chain of command, I guess, of being that way, how does that stop? Are we going to just sit back and say, well, you know what, we have no control, the government the local law enforcement has no control, the community has no control, so we're going to see another one, over the holidays? Because keep in mind, this happened on Halloween, the murder of this individual. Are we going to wait until Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, to hear about another individual being gunned down who happens to be part of the rap community? I'm just trying to understand.
Michael, may I?
Sure. Go ahead.
Just like one of the other people who spoke today, I think maybe even mm-hmm. both, alluded to the fact that there is really no answer to why other than the fact
okay.
that this is their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
In the Wild Wild West, everybody carried a gun, and at least from what we learned,
mm-hmm.
I don't know whether it's all true, but mm-hmm. you know what we learned from the Westerns and things like that is that the way they solved their problem. I mean, that's why they had the gunslinger, because this was the way that
mm-hmm.
they solved their problems. It was, and let's see, that Texas is just like that. I mean, they just created they just signed into law the ability to hold the gun with that without even a permit. So, I mean, within the black community, within the black community, and with the help of just what you said, the music that they're listening to today. I don't care what anyone else says. You have to understand the power of the beat. This is the reason why during enslavement, they used music and drums to communicate with one another. It wasn't just music. And so I'm sure that the powers that be began to understand music in relation to the black psyche and understood how important it was. Notice, I even wrote a couple of things about this. And I'm going to be quick, how during that period of time, that era that they call the civil rights era, the music was so different. It was, and then even to the names of the groups, the Stylistics, the Temptations, the Supremes, the Four Tops, you know, like the names of the individual, of the groups were uplifting. It was, I'm black and I'm proud. It was, black power.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the 70s,
mm-hmm.
when the Civil Rights Act was signed and the Southern strategy kicked in and the post-racial colorblind era was coming into fruition, that the music began, well, the movies, of course, began to change. And what was important
mm-hmm.
was that black people were not supposed to be, I'm black and I'm proud, and they started becoming pimps and hookers and whores, and you have to see this. Here's that word again: the systematic movement of this music and how it has turned into. Now it's no longer even solely gangster, except that it's about getting that, what is it, getting your coin. First it was the pocketbook, then it was the purse,
the bag,
and then now
yeah.
it's the coin, the bag, yeah, securing the bag,
yeah, right,
and
right,
now
right.
it's the, and it's yeah, mm-hmm. generally by any means necessary. And part of that culture that has stuck is the gun. And the violence, and people won't attribute. People won't put that. They don't want to. I don't think they want to face. I think it's
right.
cognitive dissonance in a lot of cases where they don't. They want to say it's art. They want to say you don't want to get rid of free speech. But what they don't realize is that there is a concerted effort to ensure that the minds of these young people. Are turned toward wet ass pussy. Excuse me. drinking and
drugging
and fighting and
killing. Yeah. Well,
okay.
Well,
this is the reality. So,
right.
and just like the
be,
other person said, there's no logic to it.
Mm-hmm.
If you start
right.
trying
so
to consider it in terms of logic, then you're going to come up with those things that. Are environmental and that are perpetuating it, which is the music and the
okay,
lifestyle.
So I want to reach out to my sister here. I think she's still on the board because she's probably the youngest one right now on the line. The host of Intro to Info on the J King Network. Makisha, are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay. So you're listening to us old folks talk about this, but your point of view, what do you think about the situation as far as what we're talking about, the rap thing, the connection or disconnect? What's your thoughts about it in the music? And does the music have anything to do with the behavior of young folks? Do you feel like it is? I just want to hear your point of view.
Oh, absolutely. All of the television, music, yes, some of those people want to model themselves after those rappers because they see the end result, the fact that they have the fancy cars and all of the women and just the lifestyle. So, yes, they some of those young children are impacted by it. I feel for all that has been happening with our rappers because it's senseless. Takeoff didn't even have anything to do with it, as you said earlier. So, I want to go back to saying be careful about who you associate with. Be careful about the environments that you're in. It is okay if you were in the hood. Have gone up the echelon, you might not can't stay in the hood all the time anymore, but for your own good, give back. But you don't have to say that, as you said, because it can get dangerous because people prey on your success and they get jealous, as you said. I feel bad for us. Every time we take a step forward, it's a couple steps back. So we as a people have to continue to just do our part for making sure that our culture and our race is pushed forward and not backwards.
Now, you listen to rap, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you don't mind sharing, what is your field of, or what is your occupation? You work at a college, right?
Yes, I'm at Howard University. I head up the School of Communications Advising Department. Yes, sir.
That's what I'm talking about. So you can listen to the music, but don't have to follow the message all the time. You don't have to be part of the community all the time. And congratulations, you just bought your new home.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
See, congratulations, she just bought a home. But she listens to rap, but she does not conform with the message of every rap song.
Mike, and I'll say
she
this because you have to know thyself. I'm not equipped to be in nobody's hood and to be no gangbanger. Like, I know that I'm an intellect by nature. I'm not a fighter. I don't want to be out there selling your drugs. I don't want to get, like, I don't have it in me. I'm not, so I know myself. Some people have the bravado and the boldness to do it. I don't, but no judgment, but, you know.
And you just said the same thing. You became a leader because you mentor young individuals at the college. You're not a follower. You can listen to the stories, but it doesn't mean you have to go and follow it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't.
Mm-hmm. And then, Michael,
so going back to go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I have some students who have one foot in the street and one foot in college, and I'm steady trying to reel them all the way in off them streets. I'm telling you guys, it's a battle, but I'm not going to stop fighting for those young people.
There you go.
Yeah, Mike, I was going to say it's difficult, especially when you consider the other factors going on in the hood as well, you know, those things that I mentioned about, you know, those 10 items that I had talked about. As factors that contribute to violence and the kind of behaviors in the community. You know, a lot of people, they long for a sense of community, and a lot of times and family, and that's what draws them to that camaraderie, you know, that so-called feeling of community within a gang, family, you know, that type of thing. And a lot of times people just don't, and kids, their minds are still forming when they're young like that. I mean, I'm 68 now, so it's like I've already been there, done that for a whole lot of that, you know, a lot of stuff. But these kids are young, impressionable kids, fresh sponge minds, and when they're fed a diet of what they see on the street and what they hear on the radio and what they watch on TV, the influence is very strong.
Well,
and hard
I
to
agree
overcome.
With that. Yeah, but I agree with you what you just said. But here's another angle I have to be honest about. It's not always the music. It's not always the TV. It's the home environment, right? I see it every day. I see the mothers, the fathers, and there's some good parents out there, don't get me wrong. But I see some parents that are just like, you know, to me, I'm like,
well, yeah,
do you
that, that's what I would say. The environment.
I'm not finished. I see where these parents talk to their kids like they're grown. They cuss them out like they're talking to one of their friends from high school. I'm like, wait a minute, this is a 5-year-old. You sitting over here going, get your black ass over here, mother. You know, I'm like, whoa, really? You talk to your kid like this? So what happens? The kid is a sponge. And what they do, they absorb what mom and dad just said to them, how mom and dad act. It starts at home, and I know that's an old cliche, as they say. It's not always the TVs and the games. They play a big part. And unfortunately, those are the babysitters for parents. Give the kid what they want to shut them up and get them out of their face. That's what they do now. It's not taking the responsibility of raising your kid. You're letting the media raise your kid, the gaming industry raise your kid, the TV raise your kid. And guess what? The music. People think media is just television. No. There's a lot of forms of media. And Dr. Smith, you know that. But that's what we're doing in our community is what I'm talking about. I don't know about white folks. I don't know about Hispanic. I know a few. But I see and I witness some of the downfalls of where situations like we're talking about happen because there's no direction in the beginning. There's no control in the beginning of a child's life. They grow up to be a gun-toting person. And then what happens? Then if there's no daddy at the home. We know the story. So then they find a family out there in the streets with the gang and everything, and they feel like they're invincible.
Yeah, you're speaking to generational. That's the key word there. You know, their parents
probably grew up the same way. You know what? It's too generational, but you know what? It's being inherited into the next generation.
That's what inheritance, generations and inheritance means.
Mm-hmm.
It's generational behavior, environment. You know, you grow up in the projects, you grow up, your parents more than likely grew up in the projects. Not to say that growing up in the projects is going to create that person. However, growing up in a low in an environment where there is nothing that you can see ahead, and whether or not they're being babysat by, you know, you said it starts at home. You're darn right. That's where the TVs and the radios are. You know, we're all saying the same thing. You know, these types of things, all of these types of things, I say they all belong in racism, first of all, is a set of paradoxes, and this is one of them. You know, what we're talking about is one of the paradoxes that are that's created because of the system of racism and white supremacy and how we're living through it and how we navigate it. And, you know, I would say overall, as a group of people, for 400 years, I say we navigated it. We've been navigating it pretty well, but it's difficult. It's painful because we're watching some of our less fortunate, for lack of a better word, weaker of us, those of us who aren't able to pull ourselves up and out, and I don't mean just physically out of an environment, but pull our minds up and out. You know, we watch them suffer and we watch them die. You know, just like you said, just because you are a rap artist, you make a ton of money, that doesn't mean that you're not going to get killed. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right, because you may not have, economic success does not mean that you escape
It's just like I said, there's just a sad thing of where this is what's happened. If you look at the fact of how many rappers, known rappers, some not known, there's a huge list that are just regional. When I say regional, you know what I mean. They're more popular on the East Coast, probably never heard of on the West Coast, and vice versa, that have been murdered, you know, killed, or probably a drug overdose or whatever, or are in prison. You know, there are some that you've never heard of, but they were popular. They had they were known. They had a following. You know, but just looking at the list of ones that have died within the last 2-3 years, it's due to murder. It's a sad thing to, you know, to hear the stories of it. And I'm just saying that where this recent one here, this individual had no beef, nothing to do with the situation. He just happened to be there. And out of all the people in the area, he gets killed. That's crazy to me. Probably the most innocent person there. And more than likely,
He certainly isn't the first, and of course he won't be the last innocent bystander. You know, what do they say about bullets? They don't have a name on them.
No, right. I just find it really crazy that this is going on. Let's see, you guys. We're at 7:15. I'm trying to see if our guest is going to be able to make it. I know it's a busy weekend, and I know a lot is going on, so I'm going to text them and see if they're going to be able to make it. But in the meantime, we're going to take a quick break, a quick music break, and we're going to come back. I want to go into a few other topics. Elon Musk, wow, bought Twitter. Do you have a Twitter account, and will you keep it? Many celebrities are dropping theirs. And he fired, over half of the people who worked for Twitter? Now, we're in a midterm election, And there's a lot of conversation about jobs, jobs, jobs. But this billionaire said, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired. Almost like an echo of Donald Trump. We're going to get into that a little bit. And that's crazy. That's crazy. And is this a convenient thing for the election? I think some of y'all might have been checking into it, the comments that Elon Musk has made, looking at probably letting Donald Trump come back to Twitter, which he was banned from. But I want to just hear your points of view of it. And then also a couple other things I want to talk about. I'm going to go down the list and see what we can get into. But in the meantime, you're listening to TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show on the TMGN. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. And right now, the reason why I'm buying time is because I'm trying to find the song I want to play. So bear with me as I look for it. Again, want to thank each and every one of you for calling in today. So bear with me as I look for this song. Where is it? It should be here. Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. I think I got it. I think I found it. Oh, no, that's not it. I'm sorry, you guys. This is not normally what happens. But here we go. We'll be right back.
What's up, y'all? This is St. James, and you're listening to TMGS, the Michael Gay Show. Tune in every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for interesting topics and awesome music. Now back to the show.
Okay, thank you, St. James, and I apologize, you guys, because that's not the track I want to play. But welcome back to the show. Going to switch up gears, text to see if we're going to be able to get the guests on, but I haven't got a response yet. So, as you guys well know, the one and only Elon Musk, the billionaire who introduced you to the Tesla, the self-driving car that everybody wants, bought Twitter. Shortly after his purchase of Twitter, he fired a good amount of people, like, what, 15%, 20% of them? First of all, I want to ask you guys, do you guys have a Twitter account? And do you use your Twitter account? Go around the board. I'm going to go with Dr. Smith first. Do you have a Twitter account?
Yeah.
And do you have any
yes,
concerns
I do.
About that?
And I use it. Okay. No, well, no. No. I do know, however, that once he purchased it, the word nigger went rose in the right wing, you know, the white supremacist circles, 500%. 500%. It was as though every white bigot out there on Twitter decided it was okay to use the word nigger. And it was like,
right.
I mean, if you searched the word, I mean, you had people just writing it, nigger, 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 440 some odd, however, the number of characters.
Right. You know, you remember back in the
day. I found that hilarious.
Okay.
I actually found that part hilarious, but I didn't know the last people who or person who owned Twitter, so I don't know, you know, I don't really know Musk. You know, I know he's a right winger, you know,
okay.
unless and until he decides to get rid of everybody like me, you know, as an anti-racism essayist and educator and activist that way, you know, if he decides to get rid of all of our accounts, you know, then I'm just off. You know what I'm saying?
Right, but here's the question I have is that what I found interesting is that where according to what they said, what has been posted or been shared, is that it's basically the individuals who would monitor racial and you know, certain comments on the
accessibility
on
people with disabilities.
Right.
Yeah, that too.
Right.
Yeah, people with disabilities and things like that.
Now, when you look at the Republicans and the Democrats saying, you know, jobs, 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 you just fired thousands of people, dude.
Yeah, I think
quit.
It was like 3,000 or something like that. I think it was.
You fired, right? And especially when you're talking about the economy,
engineers,
people needing jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But, right.
Mm-hmm.
So you
around
fired
the holidays.
Thousands. But thank you. Doesn't that sound kind of crazy? Not only around the holidays.
Well,
but during an election moment. Hello.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I mean, as an aside also, I just wanted to throw this out there because I know that not a lot of people are talking about it, that MSNBC fired Tiffany Cross for nothing, basically, over the weekend. She was the host of The Cross Connection and was the highest-rated show. Yeah,
okay,
she was the highest rated show on weekends. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. You know, since we're talking about free, you know, and indirectly free speech and things like that being possibly curtailed through Elon or just the proliferation of hate speech because of Elon Musk's ownership.
Wonder how that's going to go. I said, I wonder how that's going to go, though, as time goes on.
Uh-huh.
How many people are going to stay with their – I'm pretty sure that most
folks with their Twitter accounts, right?
Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be a lot of people leaving Twitter.
Well, what's her name? The writer who wrote all the great shows, the woman, the black writer, from the tip of my tongue.
I know you're talking about the one that wrote Murder, She Wrote, you know, How to Commit a Murder and all that stuff.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, Shonda Rhimes, yeah.
You're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she, you know, she's dropped her account. And a few other celebrities have dropped their account because of his that way. That's going to be kind of interesting how this plays out. Okay, so.
I kind of think they're going to come back eventually. Because it's it's an outlet. It's a way, you know, unless they have the same kinds of followings on other platforms, I don't, you know, after a while it kind of gets a little addictive, especially if you have a large following that you want to cultivate that following. And I just have a feeling that individual egos are going to come into play and they're going to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's just me. I mean, I don't, you know, I mean, it may or may not be the case. That's just my personal feeling. You know, a lot of times they do this because this is a message, it's a statement. And then once that statement's made, then they ease back in.
Interesting. Baby Sis, you still here? What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah, Twitter is needed unless somebody mimics another app like it, because it's a place where you can actually type stuff. See, Instagram is all pictures, but if you actually want to say something to somebody, Twitter is necessary. And it's kind of the fusion. Facebook is for the older crowd. Instagram is for the younger crowd. Twitter is like that, the one in the middle, in my opinion.
Agreed. Totally agreed. Yep. It's that middle ground between Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah, we'll have to see. We'll have to see. That this is going to be interesting, and I want to see how it, I guess the word I'm trying to say is progress, or how it's going to change after next Tuesday. Speaking of next Tuesday, election, you see, there's a lot of stuff going on. You know, you guys, I always bring up recently about the battle here in Georgia between Warnock and Walker. W versus W. WWW battle. It's almost like a wrestling match. I'm trying to understand. I just got a text. I just got a text from Carolyn Griffey. So let me see. She said give her 10 minutes. So let's see what's going on there. Yeah, I'm trying to understand, how is this election so close, you know, after seeing the documentation of what Herschel Walker has done, okay? But that's crazy. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. And we're not going to get the outcome.
I don't know about
Tuesday,
you, Michael,
guys.
But I'm scared to death.
Go ahead.
I am worried because they're talking about not just Georgia, but they, you know, over here in Pennsylvania, we got Oz,
right,
and Mastriano,
yes.
Okay?
Yes,
I mean,
they're not just
these candidates for the national Congress and Senate. The state senates and the state congresses.
Right.
I mean, that's what the Republicans have been doing. They've been securing the state legislation so that they could do the gerrymandering, and so they can pass the state voter suppression laws and things. And now these same state legislatures are putting these people in place that are going to do what Trump wanted them to do. I'm like,
oh,
you know,
right.
The one side of me is saying, serve these white MFs right. But then there's that other part of me that's saying, but damn, this is going to put a bigger target on our back. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, it's like black people always find ourselves between that rock and that hard place. And through no fault of our own. You know, we go around shooting each other, killing each other, you know, but we are being put in this position. It's like we in this vice. You know in those movies where the people are between two big slabs and the slabs are coming together slowly and people are just being crush. Yes, and we're coming together. We're coming together, but ain't shit we can do about it. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
You get that metaphor?
Right,
we can do about it because that force from without is moving to kill us.
Here's the thing, like you said, and I like the way you put that. Yeah, it's like the as you said, the rock and the hard place, the slab coming together. But there's always that movie where that hero manages to slide through that crack, right? And so, unfortunately, we don't have that hero because the slab is still coming together.
But see, what you're forgetting is that the black guy died in the beginning
I'm looking at the I'm looking at the gerrymandering of different areas that's going on. By the way, Marjorie Greene, I can't understand how she was north of us is an area, a county here. What is it? Floyd County. And for some reason, she's able to control a county that is over 30 miles south of where she is, because that's what they call gerrymandering. They rewrote the district to where now she is going to be possibly in charge of the area that I live in, which is a majority black area. This is a person who supports everything that Donald Trump does, and they set it up where she has control of this area.
They want to, hey, look, I'm telling people now, keep your eye on Plessy versus Ferguson. Keep your eye on it. Okay, keep your eye on Brown v. Board.
Okay, so we might have to go over time in the show, which I do have time, and hopefully you guys can stay tuned. I'm waiting for a contact back, and I'm looking at the board to see if our guest is going to be able to make it. I know they're really busy and doing a lot of things, preparing for tomorrow night's broadcast. Again, don't forget, tomorrow night on TV1, it is Solar Records, okay, Unsung, on TV1, 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central Time. I think you guys are going to really enjoy hearing the story. And Miss Carrie Lucas, the matriarch of Solar Records, will be on there. In fact, I saw a clip where the Whispers are speaking on the show. I saw a clip where Bernadette Cooper also speaks on the show. This should be very entertaining and also educational about one of the most amazing stories of black founder Dick Griffey, the label. They were like the Motown of the 80s. You know, I mean, they just like, there was never, I've said this many times, there was never a time back then that you would turn on the radio and did not hear one of Solar's artists being played on the air, okay? So hopefully they'll be joining us. I'm going to take a look and see. Okay, I see a 111 number on the board, so 111. If this is the guest, make sure you hit the number one so I can open up your mic. And in the meantime, I'm just going to go on to one more question I want to ask you guys about. This Saturday is daylight savings. Yes, today is daylight savings. Tonight you have to set your clock, what, forward or back? Anybody know the answer?
You have to set it back. It's not daylight savings. It's going back from daylight savings to regular standard time.
Right, because it's called spring forward.
So you'll set your clock back an hour. Yes.
Exactly. So spring forward, fall back. Now, I understand there was a thing about setting it or keeping it the same way or setting it to where we have more daylight in the morning time. There's a lot of folks who are debating. They're still talking about what's the best. I believe there should be more daylight in the morning. You know why? Because kids getting on the buses and going to school. Some folks say, well, no, I'd rather it, you know, we're doing the summertime. We have more daylight to enjoy the weather. You know, the sun goes down at 8:30, 9 o'clock p.m. or whatever. What's your thoughts? Do you rather it have where we keep setting it to where we have more daylight at a certain time of year, or keep it the way it is, or make sure, or set it to where we have daylight in the morning all the time.
I just found something so interesting about it. It started as a joke. The idea originally came from Benjamin Franklin in a 1784 essay published in a newspaper. Franklin suggested that changing the clocks twice a year could help maximize the amount of sunlight time, allowing people to work longer and be more productive.
For the farmers.
But he wasn't all that serious about it. Some historians believe it was a satirical point meant to poke fun at the more laid-back approach to work taken by some of America's European counterparts.
Well,
yep, and
that,
hold
that's
on.
And there's other things that were said about it because it was where during that time of year, that was when it was time to harvest, and the farmers could be out there harvesting later with daylight. Do you know that?
Yeah, but basically, he was saying he was treating it as a joke about because apparently over in Europe, let's say he was considered one of the aristocrats in America, but the aristocrats in Europe they weren't workers. You see what I'm saying? So so that's what his idea was. He considered them lazy.
But there are some places that do not do daylight saving. Okay.
Uh-huh.
But also, there's another thing, which I'm going to get into that a little bit more, and we'll bring that up again.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because it says war gave it life.
Here's another thing. Sleep deprivation of where, depending, you're losing your sleep. When you have longer days, you're not getting enough sleep. Longer nights, you get more sleep. So when the sun goes down earlier, people more tend to go to bed earlier than when the sun stays up later. Did you know that? According to...
Well, they said that the energy crisis is what brought daylight standard time to the USA because of the oil crisis.
Okay.
That's what they're saying. That's what brought it to the U.S.
So we just proved that the fact that there's a lot of reasons this whole daylight saving times thing came about and different perspectives of where it's beneficial and non-beneficial. I like the sleep deprivation. I love the sleep. I'm sorry. But it is good for your body to rest. Okay? that's interesting. Again, I see a 111 number on the board. If you have a question or comment or if you're one of the guests, and I understand if you're not posting your number, go ahead and hit the number 1 on your phone so I can open up your microphone. All right. So with that being said, let me take a look at here. And everybody else on the board, your mics are open. What's your thoughts on the daylight saving thing? You want them to extend it or do you want them to keep the same way, change it? What's your thoughts?
Oh, I've got to say this, big brother. For the sake of the elderly people who have a hard time driving at night, stay daylight long as possible because I know some old people who can't see at night. So that's my point.
Good point.
I just raised my hand to that one.
Kevin Spencer, you still there? What's your thoughts about that one?
Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me? Uh-oh. Amen.
No, we can hear you. What's your thoughts about that?
I hear you.
About the daylight saving? Man, I never thought about that much. I just know I have to get up and do what I got to do. If it's a little dark, I can't let that be a factor. But I did like the idea of sleeping, getting that extra hour of sleep, but I never thought seriously. And the reasons that were given, I'm here learning. I'm listening because I'm learning a lot, so y'all keep it up. I'm in class right now.
Well, appreciate you tuning in.
Again,
I got to tell you guys, I'm so thankful to have Mr. Kevin Spencer. I love this brother. Again, I'll have to say, keyboardist member of a group called Dynasty on the Solar Records label, and not only Dynasty. Kevin wrote and co-wrote many of the hits for many of the Solar Record artists, from the Whispers to Perry Lucas, Shalimar. The list goes on and on. And so, you know, I'm so honored and thankful that that Kevin's here.
You actually know what I did. I've never heard anybody say it so well.
I found one more thing, and it's about the daylight saving time, but it's very interesting, and it has to do with what you were talking about, sleep deprivation. This actually says it could be dangerous to our health. Can I read it? Okay, it says
our guest is here, but I'm gonna let you go ahead and read it. It's short and sweet.
Okay.
Go ahead and read it.
I'll be quick. Okay.
Go right ahead.
These days we're told on an almost daily basis how important it is to get a full night's sleep. Of course, that's easier said than done. One way you can maximize your sleep hours is to keep your sleep schedule the same, meaning you don't get up any later on mornings when you don't need to go to work. Given this finding, it is understandable that the changes to our sleep schedule introduced by daylight saving time can be a problem. Springing ahead and falling back by an hour can seriously disrupt established sleep schedules, leading to sleep issues for everyone, from kids to older adults. In some cases, it can result in significantly reduced sleep time, a problem that's linked to heart disease, stroke, and other serious health concerns.
Don't say that.
I know, right?
That's a damn shame,
isn't it? Because you consider how long we've been going through this thing, right? And
right.
Now, where I'm concerned, I'm on the downside. I'm rolling down the hill.
Man, because I'm a person that I may take a nap in the afternoon and sleep.
You and me both.
And then at night, I'm up like a night owl. I can't go back to sleep.
We are like kindred spirits because I'm the same way. I'm
praying.
Up at 4 and 5 in the morning, can't go to sleep. And then at 2 in the afternoon,
And then the sun starts coming up. I look at my curtain and I say, oh, the sun is coming up. I ain't been to sleep since.
The sun will be going down.
I'm frustrated.
Right.
I'm not sleeping anymore because the sun is up. It's just crazy. Right. Okay. So now you had to say heart attack and all that. I'm going, man, I ain't doing myself no good. Okay, hold on.
So our guest is here. I want to make sure that they wave their hand. And I want to make sure that I'm seeing the right number that they're calling from, because they could be calling from a number I'm not familiar with or one that I am. So the guest, please hit the number one. Make sure that I see you there. If you already hit it, don't hit it again because you'll mute yourself. So I see a 909, 609, and then I see a 1111 number. So I'm going to assume that the 909 is the one. If it's the 818, which is probably is the number, if you're calling from the 818, please hit the number one on your phone so that your mic will be open and I can bring you on to the board. So I'm a little confused here where the call is coming from. It doesn't give me a name. It just gives me numbers, okay, you guys? So bear with me. So, yep, that's it. I thought it was the 818. All right, you guys. So I'm going to open up the mic momentarily, but let me tell you guys, this whole idea came just last night. Actually, it was on my mind, and I reached out, and I said, hey, look, it would be great if Carolyn Griffey and the matriarch of Solar would just drop by and say hello and talk to us for a moment, because tomorrow night on TV1, as I've mentioned, I'm going to say it again, is Unsung, the Solar Record story. This is something I am so excited to see. I'm looking forward to see, because many of the artists that you guys have seen on the show, you've seen a lot of the stories and everything, but the story about the label to me is so amazing to me to see, and I'm looking forward to it, of course, because I've been blessed to be around many of the individuals when I was younger. My brother worked at the label. Thanks to him, I was able to meet Carolyn. I was able to meet a bunch of artists. And then over the time, I, of course, like right now, we have Mr. Kevin Spencer on the line. So without further ado, and they're going to share with us, you know, a little bit about the documentary that's coming on tomorrow night. So please put your hands together and say hello to Carolyn Griffey and
hello. Hi, Ms. Griffey.
Yes. Okay, okay, to the audience. Thank you, guys.
Great.
Thank you. I, you know, I pay them a few dollars to cheer, and then they don't know when to stop. But hello, ladies. How are you doing?
Hey, brother. How are you? Hold on. I have to say this real quick. Wait a minute, I got to say this real quick. Kim!
Yes.
Kim!
I'm right here. Dude.
Hi, honey. Oh, my gosh. Michael, I thank you so much. Odd man. It's so funny. I came on, and if you guys forgive me, I am actually with a surprise. We are on the way to Los Angeles from Vegas, and we're driving. So I couldn't dial in because the Wi-Fi was a bit janky. We're going through the mountains, so please bear with me. But anyway, gosh, you guys, I'm excited to be here. Michael, I love you, and I asked for your forgiveness last night. So thank you for forgiving me for being up. It's been super busy. As you guys know, it's been a long time coming, and you know what? It's fitting that Kevin is on here because Kevin is our historian. You know, no one in the industry, no one in the Solar family can recollect and paint the picture the way Kevin does because he's so descriptive that when he talks about it or when you read his words, you actually can visualize being in that space. And for me, it helps me because I was so young during those times that he reflects on that it helps me get to know my own legacy better by just being with the people in my family. So, Kevin, I just want to say, and you already know you're one of my favorite. I love you, and I'm so blessed to have you. And listen, I just want to say this really quickly about tomorrow night's Unsung. Unsung came to us, and I did not want to do it. Because I don't like the depiction a lot of times that they want, you know, sometimes they want to turn the tide like, gosh, it was just so downtrodden. It just, Solar is an amazing, great legacy. And every person involved, Michael, like I said, I was talking about Niles today. I was sharing with my friend here who I'm actually going to introduce because, Kevin, I've got a surprise for you, honey, sitting in the car with me. But, yeah. But the thing is, we only had a limited amount of people. But what we didn't want to do when I did agree for us to do it, I didn't want to give them everything. We just did a few people. We have a vast legacy, and there's so many parts to it, and none of them are unimportant. So the thing is, they said, well, we don't want too many people because we want to kind of do the segment of this and that. And a lot of times they'll interview a lot of people and don't use the interviews. Instead of me trying to rush everybody on there, they had their list. The thing is, I was thinking, we're working on our documentary right now. We're getting ready to finally kick this up, Kevin. We're going to be starting interviews and all this other stuff. So my thing is, I don't want to give too much away because you know what? We want them to see what we're about. Your story,
right.
I'm gonna need you for the writing about this and to get this stuff together. So Howard wasn't, you know, it's weird, the usual Howard wasn't in it, Nikki or Jeffrey or other people that people would think would be in it, but this is just a taste, you guys, of little.
Yeah, this is like a teaser.
It's a teaser. You know what? It's not even an appetizer. It's an appetizer. So
it's a mint. It's a mint before dinner. It's that mint
right,
before
but
dinner.
But you know what? But that's right, though, because you know what? Even sitting with my girlfriend that I'm in the car with right now, she shared so much with me that she, you know, that we're all, this music industry, it's one degree of separation. It's not like five. It's one. And all of our stories somehow coincide at one point of our lives or another. Kevin, you're gonna be pleasantly surprised. I'm gonna shut up and let somebody else talk. But I do want to let her say. I do want to introduce. Well, I'm not gonna introduce her. I'm gonna let her introduce herself.
Good.
Hey, man, how are you, man? Man, it's so great to meet you, man. My name is Terry, and Jimmy, we got a request for you, man. We wanted to know if you could help us, man. How did you get into the industry, man? Could you help us? I'm kind of busy right now. I'll talk to you later. Hey, Kevin, it's Joanne Carwell.
Joanne Carwell. Lord Jesus. Have mercy, Jesus. Oh, man. Suanne was so good to me. I got stuck in Minneapolis waiting on Dinah to come, and Suanne was the person. She took me around. She fed me. I got a tour of Minneapolis, and I had the best guide. But we know what happened. She took me, and I met Jimmy Jam and Terry when Jimmy was DJing, and Terry was a bass player. And he was just telling me, oh, this is what we do. This is all we do. You know, and they said, tell us, you know, you come to business, so you just make that move. You just take that. They're going down the line with the songs I had at that time. And I was, like, impressed. Mm. With the fact that they even knew who I was, and they said, we want to know how we can get our songs on the radio. But everybody asked that question back then. You know, people wanted to get in the industry, and they would run into one of us or Leon or whatever and say, how do I get in? And that's a journey. You can't give them what an explanation. Oh, yeah, you go down here and you talk to this one, then you turn left and you go down here. You can't give nobody instructions. And so I just had a stock answer. I said, oh, man, don't worry about getting your stuff on the radio, man. Just play your music for a hobby. They got so furious. It was a... Terry told me, he said, we called you everything but a child of God. And he said, they went back to where their residence, and they said, and Jimmy and Terry told me they were literally cussing me out all that night while they were working on songs. And he said, but we want to thank you. And I was embarrassed. I felt shame. But he said, because that was the night that we committed ourselves and we made a pact that we were going to become producers. And so I said, that's what they said.
So here's the thing. I had somebody.
It wouldn't have happened if Suanne hadn't introduced me to them. And nobody know, you see people going up. When you're going up or the ladder, there are people coming down. You don't know who that is that's going up. There may not be anybody that you know yet. They may be the person.
Okay,
that's
so Kevin, the thing
is,
I got some folks on the board. I gotta get them in real quick.
Do them. I'm finished.
I definitely have to get them in here real quick. Because I had an individual here, and I hope they chime back in. I really want you all to say hello to him.
I'm gonna stay. I'm gonna stay. Go ahead.
Let's see, 347-693. I know who this is. Welcome to the show, and say hello to Carolyn Griffin.
Michael.
Who is that?
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, it's Katie from Ladies Up.
Guys.
Oh.
Hey. What's going on, mama?
What
look,
in
look,
the world?
A family
in the world?
It's a family affair. Yes, baby.
And even more.
And even more.
Yep.
And I got somebody else.
Michael, please forgive me. I just got your text. And thank you so much, Michael, for just, reminding me. Tell me what y'all doing. What are y'all doing? What is this celebration that's going on up in here? What is going on?
It's a celebration of the legacy of Solar Records. That's what the celebration is all about. And today is the birthday of the matriarch of Solar, Miss Carrie Lucas. And by saying that, I have to open up another mic here because this gentleman has been sitting back waiting to chime in. Caller, tell him who you are.
Oh, I just want to say, tell him, can you please say happy birthday to your mother for me? This is Wardell Potts Jr. And
oh, my goodness. Where you find
hello.
Him at?
What? My Wardell. That's my Wardell. Get it straight.
Hey, Denise.
Hi, Wardell. How are you?
Yeah, I am blessed. Safe travels and have a great time tomorrow in L.A. And I just pray everything works out great. And I've been listening to your conversation. It's been great. So thank you.
Oh, thank you, Wardell. So good to hear your voice.
Right.
And I will
I'm
definitely give mom the message.
All right. Much love. God bless.
And I just want to say to my sister Queen, Carrie Lucas, I have admired you for so many years. I am just horrified that our paths have not crossed, but time and space cannot keep us apart. Thanks to Mr. Michael Gay and the miracle of the Michael Gay network, I want to say, sister, my only best and wonderful wishes for you. You know, making all these days around the sun is a gift from the Father and the Creator above. And, sister, may you continue to be able to take that journey as many times as the Creator will allow. And please enjoy every single solitary moment of it all. I love you. And I've watched you know what you do, and I admire you. You are an inspiration, and keep doing what you do, sis.
Amen.
Yes.
All right. Amen.
So I want
to get Carolyn to give us a little, I mean, I don't want you to share what the program's about, because then we'd be like, okay, well, then that's it. No, but how did this come about? Just give us a little idea of what we should be looking for tomorrow night, because everybody's anticipating this story. You know, we've all been talking about sharing the story of the label, but also of your father, Mr. Dick Griffey, and it's well past overdue. So give us a little idea of what we should be looking at and what it's really going to entail for us to learn about this legendary record label.
You know what? What I will say is, like I said before when I was addressing Kevin and even Wardell or anybody else that's a part of this legacy that will not be heard tomorrow, there are so many stories. Everybody has their own experience with the label. But the thing is, and this is only a piece. This is a lot of it, you know, of course, Virgil. And, you know, you see Virgil. I mean, there's a couple of the artists that are on here. But nobody has heard the family's version of who my father was. And that's the thing. You know, if you can glorify the music, you can glorify the artist, and all of it should be glorified. Because you know what? Even though it was my dad's company, he did not do it alone. It's like every person, that's why it was called the Solar Family, as you know. Whether they got along or not, the whole point is it was like a family. And if Will Shelby were here, he would tell you the story about how my dad used to make, God rest his soul, I miss that brother so much, but it would tell you the story how my dad used to just throw me on him. Well, Will had to babysit me. You know, and then we talk about that. You get really a lot more, you get the closer stories and a little bit more insight on who Dick Griffey was away from Solar.
I want to comment that is the thing that is missing in a lot of the stories. That's what's missing, the family side of what's going on behind the scenes. And I think that's the part that's really the most fascinating, because it's the foundation of the personalities that are behind what the big major thing that everybody's looking into. You know what I mean? The foundation of who your father was when he was picking up his little baby girl, you know, and handling that mm-hmm. while still handling the business is the yeah. thing that's always going to be missing in these kinds of stories. And you must agree, it can't be told in an hour, right?
No, and that's the right. thing, you know, there's no way. And see, the thing is, people see me because I'm visual and because I'm the one that's chosen to really want to step up. And I had to kind of drag my mother into it. And also, like I say, I mean, I've had girlfriends overseas who, when we were losing a lot of these battles, stepped in legally to help us pick this thing back up. So it's not, I really didn't have a lot of family input in the beginning because my sister was busy. Who is the oldest daughter who worked with him, you know, mm-hmm. she was busy raising her children and putting them through college and doing everything else that when I went to her, she kind of just said, you know what, sis, if you want to do this, you know, hats off. It's just a lot right now and I can't do it. And we respect that, but I never want to overshadow the fact that, you know, I'm not the only grippy child. I'm just the one with the biggest mouth.
So can I ask you this question here? I like the fact that you said that this is just a, you know, just a piece of the cake. There's more stories, which Kevin has so many stories, which you alluded to. And Kevin and I spoke earlier today, and I talked to him about his stories.
Right.
What the label has been going through and the transition of Solar Records, you know, it's now there's Solar UK, and then I look at the fact that all these hit songs that came about are still being played. You know, they're still being played.
All over the world.
I work at a Walmart in the electronics and photo department, and there's not a day that goes by I don't hear Shalimar or The Whispers or Lakeside being played on Walmart radio. Now think about it.
You better say everybody, Michael. I love
well,
that.
I'm hearing all these Solar artists. Okay, I'm just saying, you know, the ones that, you know, I know, which I know them all, but I'm just saying I hear Solar artists every day. And I go back to the fact of where when Solar first came on the scene, you couldn't turn on the radio without hearing a Solar artist being played. And look at over time how, as you said, the legacy is there. It's just educating, you know, but we hear the music every day. I have this one question. When it came time for the picking of the songs, I know some of the stories of where your dad will listen to, you know, the songs and everything. I know the story about where The Deal, which a lot of folks don't know that The Deal, which produced Babyface, who was just a musician, and later on, your dad realized he was the one doing the songs that were presented to him. You know, the writing and singing the vocals, and your dad found out, wait a minute, who's singing this? And it wasn't the other guys. It was Kenny Edmonds doing it. And your dad said, oh, no, wait a minute.
He did not want to do it. Kenny didn't want to do it. My dad basically went to him and told him, man, you need to be singing this. Kenny was so shy. Back then, Kenny's real laid back, but I mean, that really wasn't mm-hmm. his thing. He was a background guy. He was happy to be in the studio, continuously producing, writing, and doing all of the demos for even all the other artists. He and my mom used to do writing, and so that's definitely a true story. And if you think about it, that footprint still lives today. If you think about all the artists that you hear. My daughter brought a song to me the other day, and she was like, oh, my gosh, this is a new artist. It said baby, it's a female that's singing it. It's like now his grandchildren are listening to stuff that stems from, you know, where – that stems from this legacy. And you asked earlier how it came about.
There's a gentleman by the name of Isaac Taylor, who actually is the one doing the interviewing that you guys will see tomorrow. He approached me through Instagram, actually. I guess he had followed me on Instagram and was seeing my post and asked if we would be interested in doing it. And, of course, initially, because we are in the process of putting all this other stuff together, my board said no. My mother said no. Nobody wanted to do it. So I called Virgil Roberts and my uncle Ray Harris, who was also the VP of Black Marketing. I called Uncle Ray. I said, Uncle Ray, what do you think about doing this? And he said, you know, I said, do you think that it will overshadow what we're trying to do? He says, actually, no, I don't. I think it will be a great idea. And but my thing was, the one condition I had with Ike was that he give us control to be able to see the edits because I've been a part of Lakeside Unsung. I've been a part of Shalimar's Unsung. I helped them put Shalimar's Unsung together and actually got wiped out of the interviews because the questions, the line of questioning that they were asking, I wasn't giving them. They wanted the feud between Jody and I. They wanted me to say some things about my father and say some things about my bandmate. That we're, you know, anything that happens in my family, we don't air. When you argue with your spouse, you do that behind closed doors. You don't do that in public.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know,
I'm gonna get
a little funky right now because I'm grown. Jody, you know, I've had to be quiet all these years about it, but I'm not quiet anymore. Jody literally tried to take the trademark from underneath, and the whole time nobody ever heard any of us say anything wrong. So let me just say this when I say you're always going to have one that steps outside the box, but it's about how you respond and it's about how you carry, you have class and carry on, because this is not something, like I say, I'm not one of those kids that you fight in the sandbox. Is this PG rated or is this grown folks listening? Let me know.
Oh, this is R. I mean, you can say whatever you want to say, but you know what?
The thing that you just said, you're
gonna have disputes among family members. We all have.
Absolutely.
But you're still family. You're still family at the end of the day, which I hate using that term because everybody says, but that is the truth. You're still family. You can't change that. You know, regardless if you're blood or if it's food or in business.
Well, there's people
but
in my family.
The last thing
there's
I
want
to ask you is this.
Deal with.
Yeah, but the last thing I want to ask you is this, is that when it came to the songs, when it was presented to your dad and he listens to it and everything, you know, Motown had the thing where which I'll get into that a little later. We're not going to be on forever, but Berry Gordy and Smokey Robinson would put together a group of folks to sit there and listen and they judge. Did your dad ever bring, did he have a group of folks like that, or did he bring songs to, you know, like your mom, yourself, or a group of folks that work and get their opinion on it before making his own decision of whether that would be a single or a hit? Did he have that same formula in a sense?
Of course, he had his A&R staff. He had, you know, people's company. But Dad would always bring the stuff home. He'd come home from the studio, and I'd even be asleep, and I could hear him playing it, you know, in there. And a lot of times, he would call the family in to listen. I mean, that's really what he would do. I mean, kind of like his focus group at home. You know, I think anybody pretty much did that when they had, you know, when they had their support system. So we definitely were a part of that process. But you know. Kevin, I'm sure that, you know, your story could definitely answer a lot of more questions back then.
I know she can, baby, but I want to hear what you had to say. And you're right. As far as, you know, what I know, the same thing. You know the same thing today I do. To me, since I was under Leon was presenting, we were writing the song, but he was acting like it was already decided on, you know, the way he treated us, because he, you know, this is going to be a single. Well, that's what he wanted it to be. So we had the attitude of we're playing it as if it were going to be the single. And then when it was actually picked by Dick, I knew, because when Dick would send a message, he said, I want Kevin Spencer to do the lyrics on Keep On Loving. And then Leon would just tell me, give me the, Carolyn, he gave me the track and say, yeah, Deep wants you to put the lyrics on this and bring it home. And I take the tape home, Carolyn, and I didn't, and I was supposed to have the lyrics in 3 or 4 days. I had the tape like 3 days and I didn't even listen to it. And the night that the whispers, he called and said, yeah, Kev, you got the shit. And I said, what? And, because I know I've had tape 3 days. I haven't worked on anything. He said, well, the whispers are down here, studio masters, and they ready to hear the song because they want to learn it tonight. And he said, are you finished with it? I said, I lied, Kevin. I said, almost. He said, how much did you take? And so I said, I told him 3/4. Well, how long do you think it's going to take you to finish the other 4th? And I said, maybe a half an hour or less. He said, okay, finish the shit. I'm going to call you back in 30 minutes. Man, I didn't have one lyric or the melody worked out. Because he just
gave me. And you were working on it.
And I prayed to God. I said, Lord, you know me. I just want to do the right thing. And I had that set together. Went down there and Scotty heard it. And he put me in the headlight. He put me in the headlight and took me down to the floor of the studio. He said, boy, we knew you was going to come here with some stuff. And that's how that song ended up, getting to be the single.
Yeah, that's a good story.
That is absolutely fascinating.
Hold tight, everybody, and there is some noise in the background. Please do us a favor for the quality of the show. If you're not speaking, please put yourself on mute. I don't want to go down the board and mute everybody to find out where the noise is coming from, so please do so. I appreciate it. Carolyn, if you don't mind, I do have some individuals who have been on the show for the past hour and a half, going really 2 hours, that might have some questions for you, if you don't mind. Dr. Cynthia Lee Smith, you're there. You have a question or comment with Carolyn Griffey.
Yeah, hold on 1 second. I have to go where it's quiet.
Okay, where it's quiet. All right, let me see if my baby sister is still on the board. Makisha, are you still there?
Okay, I'm here.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
I'm here. Yeah, this is absolutely fascinating. I'm listening, and the whispers themselves, many of their songs, I had to go back and look at some of them because a number of them aided me in my conception of my children. And all grown now in their 40s and 30s, but the whispers was one of my most favorite groups. And why? Because of the words, the music. And to find out that I'm actually listening to not only the person who was responsible for the label, but one of the writers, it's just fascinating to me. But Michael, I will say, and then I'm going to get off, you made me miss the real tea about Jody Watley. Now, she was about to cuss and tell us some stuff, and you just zip right over that. Now I want you to allow her to go back to the story about Jody now.
She asked me, was this PG? She asked me, was this PG? I said, no, this is adult radio show. You can cuss. The only rule I have is don't cuss each other. You can cuss if you want.
Yeah, but then you changed it. Then you changed the whole focus of what was being said. You just went to a whole different topic. And I'm like, oh, damn.
So, Carolyn, can you go ahead and finish so she can be happy with what you're about to say?
Well, I appreciate that. The thing is, I was going to just say, I'm not the one you want to fight with in the sandbox. That's all I was really going to say.
I
so the thing is,
that.
You know, Yeah, the thing is, you know, it's not a matter, and it's really not a matter of me because I work out, because I'm strong, and because, you know, the funny thing is we make jokes about, man, I hope we don't run into anybody because you don't want to see Carolyn, and it's not about that. But the thing is, it's like, it's the way you treat people and the things you do until you have to face them. It's like, it's easy to go ahead and make certain moves. Make that move. When you are faced with that. Now, when you're not faced with that person. But the thing is, at some point, we're getting ready to start talking about this legacy. We're about to have to all face one another. And in a lot of ways, it's good, because whatever healing needs to take place, then let it take place. But like I was making a joke. Mm. Some family members, you get exiled. Just because we're blood does not mean that we're family. So, you know, right. There are things. You know, I've always been, and Kevin, you know, I've always been the sweet, the princess, and all that other stuff. But yeah. I'm grown, number one. I'm a grown-ass woman, and I was raised in the house of Griffey. So the thing is, the one thing they know about Griffey is we may be conciliatory, but we are no punks. So what I'm not going to do is allow people to not just defile the legacy, but defile the efforts of things that we are trying to keep together and celebrate. Because anything we do moving forward, I'm not going to sit up here and allow the people to, okay, if the girls in Climax don't get along, that's great. But you know what? We're going to all show respect for one another. And that's what I'm talking about. But when you don't show respect for me, I'm coming for you. So that's all I'm saying.
Let me ask you this.
Michael, may I please just interject? And I'm loving what is being brought to the table and what is bubbling up. Because a lot of people don't realize, in terms of the history, we all have over a 30-plus, 40-plus year legacy of music in this industry, right? And what the public sees is the good times. They see the wonderful music. You know, I had a wonderful conversation with a 31-year-old, and I just want you to know, Carolyn, if Sal Soul, you know, which is the label we were on, if they're having a resurgence, Solar is on the same, you know what I mean? We're all on the same wavelength in terms of reaching out and hitting this whole new audience of individuals. Why? Because the quality of the music has stood the test of time. But what the public doesn't realize, and what winds up coming to the fore in a lot of the shows that are being done, is the stuff that the nonsense and the craziness and the disloyalty that we've dealt with among ourselves. You guys had a much larger, you know, conglomeration of individuals under the Solar label, and you guys were really close. We just happened to be the last in and the last out on South Soul, so we didn't have a lot of that interaction. You know, that you guys are talking about. But I'm fascinated by it. And, sister, I really appreciate how you're handling it because, as you know, loyalty is the key. You know what I mean? We need to have loyalty in order for all of us to step forward. But what you're saying is, hey, when somebody steps out of line, we're not going to let that stop the forward movement and the progress of the conglomerate. And I love you for saying that. You know what I mean? You put it out there, but at the same time, it's not as they say, one monkey don't stop no show. And so we deal with that, we handle that within the camp, but we keep it moving for the positivity of the music and the legacy of what you guys have built. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You
so let me ask you too. Real quick, where is mom at?
I just texted her in the midst of drive. Listen, it's her birthday. She's probably celebrating. My daughter were going to go out for.
Okay.
I'm trying to get her to dial in.
Okay, I would love for her to dial in, but if you don't mind, let's take a quick music break in honor of her birthday, if you guys don't mind.
Yes.
Sit back and let's take a break. And let's take a quick music break, and then when I play this, I want you all, well, you and also Kevin, share about this song. One of my favorites. Okay. I mean, I love a lot of the earlier stuff, but this one I really love because you can groove to this. So we're going to groove to this one from Miss Kerry Lucas. You're listening to TMGS, the Michael Gay Show. Here's Kerry Lucas. Thank you. Welcome back to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. And that is the matriarch, Miss Carrie Lucas, with Show Me Where You're Coming From. We have Miss Carolyn Griffey of Shalimar joining us tomorrow night. Don't forget, tune in to the TV One for the Solar Record Story. It is a new episode on TV One, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central on TV One. Make sure you tune in. And I open up the mic to the man who had the backbeat on that cut. I know he had it going on. And Mr. Wardell Potts, man, you the pocket man. What was it like playing those tracks, man, all these years for all these artists? I just want to get you in here because you played on many of the artists' tracks, which I'm sure we're going to hear stories about all the groups and everything tomorrow night. What was it like playing that? And I mean, you the timekeeper.
Well, I got to say that that song right there. I wrote that song with Kevin Spencer, and it was fun going in the studio and recording with Leon Silvers, as he was he ran the show, right? He was the chef in the kitchen, and we were just the ingredients. But we were so hungry, like Kevin said, when Leon would tell us these songs are going to be the first singles and stuff, even if, Dick didn't confirm that, we always played like this was going to be on the radio. This is going to be a radio. So it was just an amazing opportunity and a blessing and a gift to be a part of, this run with Solar and Dick Griffey. And I started out with And the Beat Goes On. That was the first song I did with Leon and Solar, and it just kept going, and it kept going, and it just seemed like it was never, ever going to stop. And, and so when I just heard that song again, it just really blesses my heart, because I'm really happy that Carrie is the one that did it, because, she the way that her vocals go with that track, that busy bass line that Leon is playing, it just really was a marriage, a perfect marriage, and it just blesses me. So once again, I just want to say happy birthday to her, and thank you for mentioning that.
All right. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you calling in and joining us and sharing that whole thing. Carolyn, I see you back here on the board. I see that you're texting me and sending me some information. I want to go ahead and let someone else say hello to you. I think you know. And first of all, caller, I'm going to open up your mic. Say, where are you calling from? Because I know where you live, but you're not where you live. But where are you calling from, first of all, and then share who it is.
Hello, my beautiful Pete. Hello, CG. How are you? I am calling from...
Hi, who are we speaking with?
I'm calling from, I'm somewhere in Guam.
Oh,
it's
wow.
The amazing Grace. You know Grace.
Carolyn is the traveler, not me.
That's the amazing Grace. She's like Nora the Explorer. You never know where she's going to be somewhere on this planet. But that's the amazing Grace. Traveling great, right?
And forgive me, sweetie. And I'm driving, so it cuts out, and I get a little strange just because maybe I missed a little something. Hi, Grace. So you said you're in Guam. Good to hear your voice. Good to talk to you. How are you today?
I'm great. You know, it's like 10 something in the morning right now. It's Sunday.
Oh,
10:30.
Wow.
10:30 Sunday morning.
Okay. I'm sure it's beautiful over there. Never.
You know what? This place is so hot and muggy.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. Back up. Great.
No.
That's Grace. You know, that's Karen White's
girl,
biggest fan.
Oh, Lord. Oh, no.
That's the traveling Grace.
That's Dora the Explorer. That's Carmen San Diego.
It's traveling Grace.
Hi, yep. Mama. How you doing? That's my baby.
Yeah, that's the Traveling Grace. She's Karen White's biggest fan. She lives in Hawaii, visits her home in Georgia, goes to Dubai, Guam, you name it, she's Traveling Grace. She's everywhere. I'll call her.
And then
I'll be like, so where are you? She's like, go ahead.
It's breaking up.
And then she comes to Vegas and gets the biggest suite on the strip.
No, first of all, yeah. I go to Vegas. How many times have I been to Vegas and I have yet to see Carolyn? There you go.
You know what? Don't start. But you know what? Carolyn is never in Vegas. If you look, Carolyn is on the way to L.A. right now. I'm everywhere else.
No.
We're going to get this together, Grace. You know what?
I know,
let me tell you why. Because what Grace
everything takes time.
Grace wants to feed me. No, Grace wants to feed me. I'm scared because she has the best food, and I'm trying to run from food so I can look good in these dresses.
Wow.
Yes.
I love you, girl. I'm so glad.
I love you more. How is Miss Carrie? Is Miss Carrie on? Miss Carrie, baby!
You know what? I'm trying to get her to call on. She and my daughter are going out for her birthday treat. So I've been driving and texting, and I know it's against the law. So if there's anybody, don't turn me in.
Yeah, be careful.
But I'm trying to get her to, you know, call in and get syncopated. Everybody knows my mother, God bless her, she's, you know, the beautiful spirit. But my mother is the biggest recluse in the world.
No, I am.
Your
mom is amazing. I mean, you know, I pinch myself that whenever, you know, I talk to her or when she texts me back, you know, and I'm like, I can't believe I'm speaking with the matriarch of Solar Records. You know, I have to remind myself.
Aww.
I have to be very respectful. I mean, seriously, because, be honest, I've only seen your mom maybe 3 times. Okay, back in the 80s.
Right.
2-3 times. And it seems like we've been friends forever. She's just the sweetest person,
right.
You know. And she's been on the show numerous times. She's always been so cordial. And always when I ask her to come on, she's like, sure, Mike, no problem. And it was so funny. Her and I had a conversation a few weeks back. And she was going to get back with me, but she was telling me how she was busy, you know, with Kennedy and, you know, going to the games and everything, which your daughter is an awesome volleyball player, of course, and sports and everything. So I admire that. But she texted me, she said, I'm so sorry, Mike. I deserve a swift kick from you. And I'm like, no, that will never happen, you know, because she promised me back with me.
Right.
But she's just a sweet spirit. Like yourself, stays in shape. You know, you guys are awesome, you know, and like you said, it's just a great family, and I'm just really looking forward to tomorrow night watching the story and everything, and I'm sure, as you said, there's much more. This is just a
there's
just
much
tip
more.
Of what's
Carolyn,
to come.
Michael?
Excuse me.
Michael?
I just, Carolyn, I'm
Michael?
Sorry.
Michael?
Hold on. Go ahead, ladies first. Ladies first.
Michael, it's Denise. You know that Austin, my husband, is a great, great fan of the Solar Records collection of music, and my other half, better half, however you want to say it, and he's been listening, and he has just been so overwhelmed with joy at what he has heard. He wanted to say something. Is it okay, Michael?
Sure, go right ahead. Austin's my friend. He's welcome anytime.
Hey, how you doing there? How you doing there, Michael? You know,
what's
I'll
up,
be
baby?
Very quick. Much like how Sky and the Soul Soul family created the intentions for their music on that R&B, funk, whatever the intention was, they had no idea what was in their backyard. And what I mean by that, now I'm associating that with the Solar family, is I'm from Soundview Projects in the Bronx. So I feel that I can represent the entire New York community when it comes to the dawn or even the before the dawn of hip-hop and its existence. I just want to let you know that when it came to Kerry Lucas and when it came to the Solar family, when it came to Dynasty and all that, I don't think you understand the influence that you had on grassroots day one hip-hop. You came out the gate as far as your artistry, as far as being R&B, funk, you can call it West Coast, whatever, but if you really want to establish before hip-hop, before N.W.A. and all that stuff like that, the marriage and the love and the air hug from East to West Coast, let me tell you something. Bronx, Manhattan, you know, we loved y'all first. We embraced y'all first. And your intention may have been the music that you wanted to put out in the certain category, in a certain genre that you wanted to do. That's fine. But we took it. And we made it ours. So just imagine a bunch of young kids that are in the projects that cannot get into those clubs, could not get into those venues, and we are about to get arrested because our party, our park jams, went too long, way past the 10 o'clock curfew that was given by the police department. And I just want to let you know that your day one loves runs much earlier and much deeper than you can all imagine, from Shalimar to everybody, the whole Solar family. So I just want to say, on behalf of New York, on behalf of hip hop, the Almighty Zulu Nation, thank you.
Hello,
amen.
Mike, I want to ask one quick question while Denise has now. Did you guys, once that Sky was, I think Arshea had something to do with you guys going on Arshea, did they ever try to encourage you to adopt some of the Solar things that we were doing? Because, you know, Solar was with Arshea too, with Robert Bob Summers. And so they thought that was so great what Dick had, you know, was doing when Solar was blown up on Arshea, and then Dick switched horses on them. And I don't think they were expecting that. But that became something that seemed like it was, Arshea was trying to influence some of his artists to, you know, just borrow a little tidbit.
You know, I love that question. And I think that we were definitely influenced by the style of music that you guys were putting out. But I want to say this. It was an amazing time for not only music, but for musicians and for writers.
It was,
You understand what I'm saying? When I think of you, and this is a retrospective thought process for me right now, and I'm loving it because it's conjuring up memories for me of the amazing producers that were out at the time. And I think we were all kind of, I don't know if you guys were as in tune to what we were doing as we were in tune to what you were doing, but we were feeding off of one another. You know, we were all listening and hearing what one another were doing. And the producers were all had ears wide open. And to me, it wasn't a competition. You know, later musicians, hip-hop was always in competition with one another. I don't think we were ever in competition. I think we were a mutual admiration society. Because Kevin and I have had this conversation. I loved Dynasty. You know, our paths crossed on the road. And
I think it was a thing, with me being the listener, not an artist. I think it was it was the same genre, and I think, you know, maybe in some heads it was like, well, how do you top that? It wasn't the style or the music, but activity of where I want to come up
exactly
with something
right.
Creative,
now,
you know.
Now,
and
now
that's
my,
where, in
I
that
can
area,
share one thing.
Everybody
with
had
I can share one thing.
Everybody had, but what I'm saying is this: everybody had a sound, but it was the music and the lyric, and there was lyrical content. See, now you don't have
correct.
That. There was lyrical content.
That's
the
right.
Stories in the songs were you know, there was love songs back then, even to an upbeat music. But I want to go back to Carolyn because, you know, we're talking about Solar, which still exists. Shalimar still exists. Lakeside still exists. The Whispers still exist. Many of these groups, well, Midnight Star still exists. Dynasty
yeah.
got another single. So my question to Carolyn, can you share, because I know that there's Solar UK. There's clubs over there now that Solar clubs.
Yes.
Can you share about that?
Are you kidding
and
me?
Of course, you and your brothers are still selling out overseas constantly. Can you share a little bit about that?
You know what? I'm sorry, Michael. Because of the fact that I'm traveling, I heard some interference with it. Can you just kind of
right.
sum up the question I heard you say about Solar UK? About us being overseas and everything else. Just give me a quick reprieve on that.
Right, a little, right. You know, what I'm just saying about, you know, Solar overseas, the clubs, the Solar clubs, where Solar
where
is not that? Gone. It,
Soul,
I mean,
Soul
it's,
Train,
it's very
Soul Train, the Soul Train Club.
Soul Train clubs,
yeah.
You know, which
yeah.
is affiliation
yeah.
with Solar, of course, which Soul Train
yeah.
started, Solar came off of that. Can you share about that venture? And, of course, you and your brothers, Howard and Jeffrey, are still performing and selling out. Can you
yeah.
share more about that? And, you know, what is the next step after this? What's the next step for the legacy?
Well, as far as addressing, you know, the Solar, see, a lot of people thought, okay, when they launched the Solar UK, they thought we were going to start doing all these acts and all that other stuff. Solar UK came about, you know, we're being honest, it came about during the lawsuit. You know, we have had to literally, you know, and thank God for Jesse Singh, because people are like, well, who was this Asian woman coming along? And she literally has saved us and pulled us out of a lot. You know, when you're dealing with a company and you're trying to resurrect something, people think that you should just press forward. You can't press forward until you clean up all of the things that can come after you in the future. You have to make sure that your trademarks are clear. You have to make sure that your business is clear. You have to make sure, and with all of this comes a lot of opposition. So Solar literally was just opened as a business. And then we just started seeing opportunity to do certain things. We have a couple of things that we have released, and everything was really supposed to be Solar-based. But now we've got artists that are coming to us that want to do it. Maybe there's other legendary artists that, you know, there's a lot of, you know, those of you that are overseas know that the music game is completely different over there. If you see, Shalimar does not tour in the United States because of what I brought up earlier, but we are everywhere else in the world. It's because of the platforms that are there, you know, the respect that is there. Literally,
that's
Solar Records is a lot. Solar
yeah.
Records is alive, like it never went. Hello, like it never went away, because of the reception and because of the respect and the love of. Hello, Kevin, do you need to unmute your phone, Kevin?
Hello.
I'm driving and I'm hearing talking.
I'm sorry. Go ahead,
Carolyn.
We hear you, Carolyn.
Okay,
and I'm sorry. So the thing is, you know, we are doing a lot, but we're doing more as a company, as in putting together things to facilitate this next genre in terms of the story being told, in terms of, you know, bio picks, being done. It's really not so much, it's really making an awareness of carrying on the music. When we do have a couple of people that are still, you know, with us that are a part of that, we're still forming our team as we go. Because the thing is, we want to pull our family to do it with us. We don't want to just have people that have just come into this and don't really, you know, aren't really a part of the legacy. So you will be hearing some music coming out. It's kind of hard because we've got some secret projects. We are working with some DJs right now, some really world-famous DJs who are taking the songs and we are recutting them to put it in a house genre. It's called Solar in the House. So we're, you know, we're trying to take our writers and our music and take them into other countries, into a younger generation, into, you know, the, basically to continue the longevity of the music. It's beautiful the way that it is. But now if you look at it, you know, everything over there is club or this or that. And even if you don't like it, man, DJs are splicing up records all the time. And that's why a lot of these songs, I mean, they're living on and they get a longer life and you really expand your territory. So there's a lot of things we're doing. That's kind of why we've been on the quiet edge. But the Soul Train Club, we've had some runs with those. We're also, you know, we're just kind of really tackling a lot of things to really bring awareness to the legacy. Because over there, they don't really get the, they love it, but they don't get much of it. So, you know, we're going where we're appreciated. Do we love the United States? Absolutely. But the reception is not the same. The reception is not the same, you know. So especially if you look at the situation, like you saw the Temptations, how many Temptations do you have left? You know, if there's two Temptations left, is that really still? I mean, the thing is, it's legacy. Everything we're doing is pertaining to continuing to share and to grow and to have this legacy not fade as the generations come in. You know what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, I'm
right.
Filling out over there. We saw more kids. We watched these parents bring their children who, when they first come to the concerts, are sitting up there like, oh, my God, my parents are making me sit through this. But because of Jeffrey and the way he is on stage and interactive and how we have fun with each other on stage, we've been able to literally pull a new generation of listeners, a new generation of kids and people that are now growing and come to our concerts by themselves now. And that's what it's about. And I don't want to just do that with Shalimar. I want to do it with all of them because even though I know that it's, you know, late in our season, I still have a dream to see the Solar Galaxy Stars tour happen. And we're closer now than
Hello.
We ever were to making
Hello.
To make that happen.
Yep.
So, you know
I'd
what, you know, Dynasty, let me tell you something. When you're over there, there's not a time when you don't hear that. That's what I was going to chime in and say when you talk about, you know, Walmart and hearing the song. Everywhere in the world that I go, I step off the plane and hear it. I'll be in the bathroom at the airport in Heathrow, and you land in, you're in the Eurostar going to Belgium or France. And we're everywhere, guys. And it's such a blessing. We may be small in terms of the notoriety because we haven't really spoken up yet, but that's why we're doing this. And this is the beginning of it.
And you know,
to the
when
gentleman
you said the
came on, to the gentleman
ahead,
that
I'm
came
sorry.
On, I didn't get to address you really quick, and I'm done. The gentleman that came and addressed and talked about New York, you know, taking the music, and first of all, thank you so much. That literally is a blessing. And if my father were here, I know what that would mean to him. Because I know, I mean, Kevin and Wardell and everybody else that's a part of this, I can imagine what that feels like to hear that. But, you know, I tried to force, you know, bringing rap into Solar. My father told me I was crazy. And then a lot of people don't know. Think about it. We're really from Soul Train to Death Row. Because before everything ended up shutting down, we had Death Row in our Solar building.
Right. That's right.
So the thing is,
that's
I mean,
right.
So, you know, whatever the West Coast thing, you know, there was a vision. There was a vision that was started a long time ago. My dad may have saw it, but the people that he brought in, I believe, are all the people that God put in place to do it. Because, like I say, we are not unsung. We're just unheard. You hear us, but now you need to know us. And that is what we're, that's what all these new entities are built for. So now our voice will be louder. And Wardell did say something to me years ago, and I never forgot it. He has been trying to reach me. And Michael, you guys know sometimes that I'm hard to reach. But that he caught me at this one time, and it was like 4, 5 in the morning my time. And he had a dream, and he told me, he said, your dad said, let them hear my voice. And I never forgot that. So nobody wants to, you know, people want to talk about their experience. It's their right to talk about the experience. But you can only talk about the voice when that's something that was a part of you. I lived in a house with that man. I was raised by that man. So the thing is, if my other siblings or mother or other people don't want to say it, it's my job. And I'm so, and I just, and I feel blessed to have family like you all around, and a historian like Kevin, and people, you know, everybody on here and people that are listening to help keep this legacy alive. Anyway, I know that I've kind of rambled on, but it's very, it's emotional, especially being the start. And you know what? And Michael, you have always just, you've always gone for this legacy from day one. I mean, it's like, you know, and you don't understand, you're just as much a part of it as all of us are. So I'm grateful to you, those of you that are listening, those of you that are supporting, those of you that continue to listen. And you know what? You guys just continue to lift everybody up in prayer and pray that we, you know what? Pray that not only will we continue to be seen, but we'll be heard, not for the fame, but for the history. And really, I mean, and it's a rich history. And it's a legacy, not just for my children, but for all of your children and grandchildren. Because it was a great part of history.
Exactly.
And it shows.
And, you know, I appreciate you saying that. I truly appreciate you. No, I was saying that. I appreciate you saying that because, you know, I owe my late brother a lot of gratitude because if not for him working with the label, working for the label, I would have never met any of y'all at all. You know, I met you back in the day, and then I didn't meet until later on. Right, my sister.
But
right,
you know what's funny?
So I wouldn't have met.
We were.
Mm-hmm.
We were destined to be related because it wasn't just Niles, which Niles was one of my favorite people. You know, that's where I got that name. He called me Princess Caroline. That was his name for me. But not only that, Michael, but then I go to school with Quincy Jones's kids, with Leon Silver's
right.
brothers, and all this other stuff. And there's Ava. I mean, so we all were destined to be in this together.
Yeah. Amazing journey. And it still continues. Hey, we got about 7 minutes left. And you guys, again, I want to thank all of you that have called in. Unfortunately, Miss Carrie was not able to make it. But like I said, her and I text, and I know she's busy. I know she's enjoying her birthday. I'm not going to say her age because
she
it's not.
She called.
I didn't see her on the board.
She's not on.
Okay. Have her call my number or call yours and merge it because the board may not let her call in now because it's 15 minutes before the end of the show. She can call you and you can merge it or she can call my number and I can merge her. But, hey,
Michael,
you guys, thank all of you.
Can I just say one last thing because I have to hop off. I love you so much, Michael Gay. And I want to say to the Solar Records family, you guys are doing it. And representing for classic music. And Carolyn, I love the way you're advancing the business. You're advancing as a female head of a record company organization. I want you to keep on moving, sister, and please know that I'm going to be behind y'all 100%. I'm a fan, I'm a friend, but I'm also family. So love to you, Kevin. Love to you, Wardell. Both
too.
Of you ladies, keep doing what you're doing. And Mr. Michael Gay, you know I love you.
I love
and thank
y'all
you
too. You know
on
that.
This
I love you.
Amazing show. And I will be my all four of my eyes are going to be on that daggone unsung tomorrow. Okay.
Amen.
God bless.
All
you.
Right,
good
y'all.
Can you tell Austin good night, please, for Wardell? Austin, good night.
All right, Wardell. You know you can call any old time. You know that.
Oh, that's right.
And you,
that's
Kevin,
right.
You know you my you my baby. I love you. And Mike, Mr. Michael Gay, kudos to you putting on what I feel is one of your best, absolute best and amazing shows. And like I said, you have
thank
my
you.
Full support at all times, sweetheart. I love you so, okay? You guys have a good
love
night.
That.
And I will be in front
hey,
of that TV tomorrow.
Hey, wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute. You make sure you say hello to my crush. You know that now.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Lord.
You know, I love
she is that girl.
Denise, but
she is that
I've
girl.
Had a crush.
Who
I've
I
had
warned
a crush
you is
on
off, almost off the market, by the way.
Oh my God!
But
oh,
yes,
well,
kudos to Carolyn. I'm so honored to have talked to that sister. I mean, in all my years in the business, I have never had this amazing opportunity to be one-on-one with her. And I hope that I actually get a chance because she's inspiring, you know, as the head of her business and the head of that company. It is extremely inspiring to me for her to be in that position. And like she said, I might be unsung, but I am not unheard. And so, you know, neither unsung nor unheard. Please keep moving that whole business forward. And that is a power move that young women in the industry need to be looking to, you know, as an example of how it's supposed to be done.
Okay.
Longevity speaks for itself. And I love you guys.
Right.
And anyway, I got a show tomorrow, so I love y'all.
Okay.
Bye,
all right, you guys, I got 4 minutes left.
Bye,
I got 4 minutes.
I hope to talk to you personally one-on-one. I love you so. Thank you.
All right, I got 4 minutes left. Actually, I got 3 minutes left. Let's see. Grace, 15 seconds. You got it. Go ahead. Grace, you got something to say? 15 seconds? No? Okay. Let me see. I'm going to go to let me go ahead and go to Kevin. 15 seconds. Go ahead.
Hey. This has been an extravaganza, Mike. I've never heard a show you did just quite like this.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you so much. And you have to come back and join us. Let's see. I see Wardell is here. Wardell is still on the board. Wardell, let me see if I can open your mic. 15 seconds.
Carolyn, God bless you, sweetheart. Thank you. It was so nice to hear your voice. I haven't talked to you in a long time, but I'm just so proud of you. Continue to do what you do, and I will be praying for you that you have continued success. God bless you, and thanks, Mike, for this opportunity.
All right, thank you, my brother. Let's see. I'm gonna go back to Grace. Grace, are you there? 15 seconds. Okay. All right, Carolyn, I'm gonna let you close it out. Carolyn, you there?
Okay, I know we got. Hello, I'm here, but you know I got a bad connection. Anyway, I just want to say thank you to everyone. Thank you to you, Michael, Wardell, everyone, and I love you. And you guys, let's just keep lifting up God before this whole situation and just pray that, you know, he does what he uses all of us to do what we're supposed to do. That's all I got to say. I love you, and you guys keep on moving forward.
Amen. Hey, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Ms. Carolyn Griffin for joining us on the eve of the broadcast of the Solar Records the documentary on TV One that's going to air tomorrow night. Again, tomorrow night on TV One at 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central Time. Unfortunately, Ms. Carrie was not able to join us, but hey, it's her birthday. She's going to enjoy her day, okay? Thanks to all my callers and everyone. And as we leave out, I'm going to definitely play this in honor of her birthday. Happy birthday, Ms. Carrie Lucas. God bless. You all have a great weekend. Good night.